The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, June 13th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a police chase involving a U-Haul truck that ended in a crash in Philadelphia Sunday afternoon was connected with a fatal shooting investigation. The shooting took place around noon on the 1500 block of 68th Avenue in the city's West Oak Lane section. Police say a 26-year-old man was shot in the head. Medics pronounced him dead at the scene. Neighbors who were inside at the time of the shooting said they initially thought that the loud bangs were from the movie they were watching. One neighbor said she frequently saw the 26-year-old man walking in the neighborhood. Shortly after the shooting, police began pursuing a U-Haul following reports that it was involved in a shooting. Police say the U-Haul driver crashed into a tree near the intersection of Wayne Avenue and Aspley Street in the city's Germantown section. Police say two males were taken into custody. No further information on the U-Haul truck's connection with the investigation has been released, but anyone with information is being asked to call police at 215-686-TIPS. A Wilmington, Delaware man died while taking part in the Escape the Cape Triathlon, an open water race off Cape May County, New Jersey. According to Delmo Sports, the organizers of the event, lifeguards noticed the man was in distress near the finish open water classic swimming portion of the event at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday. The man was pulled from the water to the beach in Lower Township near David Douglas Senior Memorial Park, where EMS personnel administered CPR. He was taken by ambulance to Cape Regional Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead.
Casey participated in that very event over the weekend and did pretty well. That must kind of,
I mean, it happens. Shook
you, you know, give you a bit of a shock, you know.
I have taken part in a few different triathlons, sprint triathlons, and in particular, like ones that where people have passed away. It happens, and I but you know, in this particular one, I didn't see anything that would indicate that anything tough was going on.
Any issues were going on, and this is right at the beginning for him, was it not?
Yeah.
It's at 8:30.
Yeah.
What time did it start?
So it started 7:30 technically, but there was a mile, you know, so they had like the Olympics distance and then the sprint distance.
Right. Okay.
So the Olympic distance started at like 7:30, and then they moved the ferry. And that's the cool thing about this thing is you jump off the Cape May ferry into the bay. And so we all started at around 8:30 doing the sprint. So if that was the case, I guess this gentleman was part of the sprint triathlon.
But man. That's horrible. I mean, you're there for this really celebratory event.
Yeah.
This achievement you're going through.
You're assumed to be in shape.
And you probably have some people that are there to watch.
Right,
it's
terrible.
It's tragic.
Well, and so, you know, and I didn't hang out too long afterwards, so I didn't hear anything.
Well,
I didn't hear anything until...
You can't keep track of everything that's going on. You're participating yourself.
That's kind of good, though, or at least that you didn't hear during it either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The people taking part, like, that's just so sad.
Yeah.
I'm heartbroken. Stephen Del Monte, CEO of Delmo Sports, said in a statement, Delmo Sports and U.S. Triathlon lost a member of its beloved community, and we extend our heartfelt condolences to his family and friends. The company said proper safety precautions were followed as the health and safety of athletes are both Delmo Sports and U.S. Triathlon's foremost priority.
I've done a few of these in a few different places, and I got to say, this thing is put together so well. The logistics to put something together of this magnitude with this many people, like, you know, there was no stone left unturned. And yes, like, just walking onto the ferry, you're like, this is an amazing, fun event, you know? So I can't say enough about Delmo Sports for, you know, the event that they put together, because it
stuff
is really...
Stuff like this will happen, though. You can't.
Yeah, it's pushing yourself physically.
So it's going to happen,
It unfortunately happens from time to time.
Officials said the man was in his 70s. He has not yet been identified at this time. A medical examiner will determine the cause of death. An eyewitness captured shocking video of some subway surfers in Brooklyn on Friday. At least 8 people were seen sprinting and skipping along the length of the subway car as more cautious riders sat on the roof of the train. The video showed the people standing on top of the J train as it crossed the Williamsburg Bridge. An NYPD spokesperson said police are aware of the video and are looking into the incident. It comes after a man was killed after allegedly subway surfing atop a train in Brooklyn in 2021.
Did you say they were skipping on top of the train?
They were running along the top of the train. However, in their defense, they purchased penthouse tickets for the trip.
So I got you.
To the roof.
but to actually so joyous that you're skipping on top of a subway.
They referred to them as cocky. Like, that's right. You know what I mean? Like, they there was no fear, and they, you know, knew what they were doing, and they didn't care. And so,
Sometimes I've been cocky in my life. That never occurred to me to do that, though.
In the incident in 2021, a 32-year-old man fell from the J train near the Williamsburg Bridge.
I saw a video over the weekend of this guy. It looked like he was in a subway station who ran down. You saw from across the tracks, and this dude just, like, hopped over the span of the tracks and then, like, did some sort of flip and then, like, hopped over the other span of the tracks.
Was it Spider-Man?
Well, he was dressed like Spider-Man.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Jesus Christ.
All right, in sports this morning. Yesterday afternoon at the ballpark, the Phillies lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks 13-1.
Oh, yeah.
Christian Walker had 3 hits and 3 RBI. Jake McCarthy homered, and the Diamondbacks ended the Phillies' 9-game winning streak and gave interim manager Rob Thompson his first loss since replacing Joe Girardi. It was also the team's first loss since May 31st. Thompson's 8 wins to start his managing tenure matched the most ever for a Phillies skipper and is second overall to Boston's Joe Morgan, who won 12 straight in 1988. Phillies are at home again tonight and will host the Miami Marlins. Aaron Nola will get the start. First pitch is scheduled for 7:05. The NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and Boston Celtics are now tied at 2 games apiece, and Game 5 is tonight in California. Tip-off is scheduled for 9 o'clock. And after beating the New York Rangers in Game 6 on Saturday night, the Tampa Bay Lightning are heading to their third straight Stanley Cup Finals. The two-time defending champs, the Lightning, will head to Denver to take on the winners of the Western Conference. That's the Colorado Avalanche. Game 1 is on Wednesday night, and the puck will drop at 8 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kat. Monday morning, welcome to it, friends. We are happy you're here once again. We have some new stuff to give away. Let's dive right into that, because our Word of the Week prize is dinner for 10 at Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse. You can gorge yourself.
I love dinner for 10.
I love it.
It's amazing.
And especially where you can eat just as much as you want to. And so we will give that away at the end of the week. You'll need to collect the letters, and we do that at the end of the program. And I think you know how that thing works. If not, welcome. It's easy, and we want you to get on board for that. We also have this morning a guest. Oh, we will be talking about the I Bleed for Presidency blood drives coming up on the 24th. So our friend Guy Triano, who is the regional chief executive officer of the American Red Cross, is going to stop by this morning and get some of the details on that, just to goose it a tad bit and make sure that you get signed up and come and join us for that event on the 24th. Two locations, Oaks and the live casino resort that right in the heart of the sports complex. I was right by there yesterday. And so we're going to fill both those places up, and we are doing a live broadcast from the Expo Center at Oaks.
First time ever.
First time ever. It's on a Friday, and we will be doing the show live for that event. So that's coming up. We also have an announcement about an event, and we're going to get to those details later on this morning. It's a live event that should be pretty cool, and as we get closer to 10 a.m., we'll reveal those details. I'll get you a better idea of exactly when we will be doing that as we get a tad bit closer. We're on the cusp of another event. The sorority party's on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
At a Parse Casino, and we're going to have a little square dance get-together. So I know that we have some giveaways. Kay, should I do a couple right now? Or
do
you want me to give something else?
Because there's something that's happening tonight.
Look out, man. Look at that. Coming at you. You see that? It's called karate, man. Only two kinds of people know it. Chinese and the king.
All right.
One of them is me.
So we're not going to do the sorority party giveaway now. We'll do that later on. We have tickets to see Elvis, man. Tonight, we got a screening, 7 o'clock at the Philadelphia Film Center. And we can take, we'll call ours 10, 11, and 12, and 13 right now. 215-263-WMMR. Austin Butler is Elvis. Tom Hanks is Colonel Tom Parker. It's in theaters on June 24th, rated PG-13. So let's take those callers now. 215-263-WMMR. We will give you those movie passes. So that is indeed tonight. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We got details on the Biebs.
Yes.
In the entertainment news.
Something going on there.
A medical thing happening with him, and the Rebel Wilson outing. There's some details on that. I got a bunch of other things as well as a stupid question. Stay put. We'll be back in a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Well, check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on MMR's mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we have the, for the Word of the Week prize, the dinner for 10 at Nebraska Brazilian Steakhouse for the stupid question this week. $150 Fogo to Show gift card.
Oh, my God.
So
oh
we're just all God. About the Brazilian steakhouses.
Yes. We just want you to eat as much as possible.
Please do. Get big. All right, so we're going to give away the $150 gift card to Fogo to Show. If you can answer this question correctly, what was the first U.S. state to pass a law requiring mandatory seatbelt? 215-263-WMMR. Call if you know the answer. What was the first U.S. state to pass a law requiring mandatory seatbelts? Let's see if you know the answer to that. 215-263-WMMR. Got a long list of birthdays today, some big ones. Today is Monday, June 13th, and Tim Allen is 69 years old today. So he celebrates a big one, right on the cusp of turning 70 years old today.
It was funny. I was there was an interview. I saw a clip of Chris Evans. I think he was on Kimmel, maybe, talking about he's in the Buzz Lightyear movie. Mm-hmm. And he said he could not break himself of doing the Tim Allen voice because it's so iconic.
Yeah, that Buzz Lightyear voice, yeah. That delivery is iconic. It's perfect. And speaking of Chris Evans, it's his birthday, too.
Oh, no!
Captain America turns 41 years old today. I got a little thing about him coming up in the entertainment news as well.
He's played two characters in the Marvel realm. In the Fantastic Four.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
And you thought, okay, they're never going to use him. Though he was perfect, obviously, for Captain America. I'm so glad they went with that.
Oh, my God, yes. I can't think of anybody else that would have pulled that off better than him.
No.
He's just so right in the zone on that. And I have forgotten about the Fantastic Four.
You blocked that.
I did. They just weren't that good.
They were not.
I don't hate them, but I was just like, it could have been better, you know? But Chris Evans, and he's great in other films outside of the Marvel Universe as well. And Knives Out, he's great. There's a movie I love called Gifted.
Iceman.
Fantastic in.
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer's great, but where he plays the sort of scummy.
Oh, my God.
The hitman.
The hitman. That's right. He is 41 years old today. Malcolm McDowell, speaking of playing some terrifying characters, A Clockwork Orange.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Love A Clockwork Orange.
He's an intense character.
He's in a fun movie, Time After Time, where he plays H.G. Wells going back in time to capture Jack the Ripper.
He's supposed to be a pretty funny guy, too. He's, like, got a really good sense of humor from what I've heard. So he is 79 years old today. It's Ashley and Mary-Kate Olsen's birthday today. Yep. The twins are 36 years old today.
one thing I can't get enough of is the slowed-down version of their pizza song video.
Oh, my God.
Who wants a pizza? It's a pizza party.
It was like an early spoof YouTube video. It came out ages ago.
Right.
It sounded like they're drunk. Or,
it's their mommy.
They're little kids.
Yeah.
And it's from one of their videos, of their Olsen twin videos.
And they built an empire off of those videos.
Yeah, and then led to, apparel and all that stuff. And they just have made so
and
much money.
Pizza party.
Yeah. How old are they, did you say?
36.
Because they're pretty plastic surgeried up
are they?
At this point.
Yeah.
And both of them to still look
we're
the same.
We're having a Botox party.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, guys, we've cleaned out the refrigerator. I think we're just about ready to build the perfect pizza.
Pizza! P-I-C-C-A.
We're the
pizza.
Okay.
Did I happen to say
I want pizza?
It's too
funny.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, they're 36 today. Sally Sheedy's birthday. We were supposed to have her on a few weeks ago, and that interview fell through.
Yeah, it pissed me off.
I was bummed out, yeah, because while I wanted to talk about, you know, her current projects, but, I mean, yeah, I had to geek out of the Breakfast Club.
I love her. I was so looking forward to talking to her, and I eventually called up that contract killer that I hired Preston.
Oh, well, at least you saw that. Yeah. It's to be that sensible. She is celebrating her 60th birthday. Definitely an early crush of mine back from the Brat Pack days. Stellan Skarsgård.
Yes.
Has his birthday today. He is 71 years old today. Yeah, he's in the Thor storylines. And he is also talking about in that kind of realm of sci-fi and fantasy and all that in Dune. He plays Vladimir Harkonnen, yes. Or Harkonnen, as they call
him. You can't recognize him.
This version. If you don't know it's him, yeah, it's hard. He is pretty chilling in that. And of course, he's great in Good Will Hunting and Pirates of the Caribbean. Great actor.
I'll tell you guys, and I just realized this, in the beginning of Zoolander, one of the Skarsgårds, who's from True Blood, is one of the male models.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Alexander
Skarsgård. They get into the gasoline fight.
Yeah.
I never put two and two together.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Stellan turns 71 years old today. Richard Thomas, who's on the show The Waltons.
Yeah. Were you a fan?
I did. Yeah, as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of the biggest shows in America at that time. And the whole, at the end of every episode, for those who are too young to remember The Waltons, the entire family, they would show a static shot of the outside of the house, and the lights would be going off, and they would be saying goodnight.
Good night, John Boy.
Saying goodnight.
We're having a pizza party.
To all of the family members, and there were like eight of them in the family. Yeah. It's like, night, Sue Ellen. Night, John Boy.
Night, blah, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah. So.
Perfect pizza.
He just showed up in the last season of Ozark,
hey,
by the way.
Pizza party in John Boy's room.
He also had that little mole.
He had a mole.
Yeah.
That was kind of his...
It's a mini Walton Mountain.
Trademark. And so he showed up in Ozark, you said, right, Casey?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
what was he?
He's the... he's her father.
He owns a pizza.
Oh.
Laura Linney.
Yeah.
Oh, he was in previous seasons.
He owns John Boy's Pizza Parlor.
John Boy's Pizza.
Yeah.
He was? Yeah, he was in several
but
seasons.
Like, just briefly, though. Not as extensive as he was this last season.
And Nick was telling me he's actually going to be at the Kimmel Cultural Campus very soon. In fact, this week, he is Atticus Finch in Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, that's got to be awesome.
It's next month.
It's next month? It's July. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So July 12th to the 24th. But Steve, making some inroads on getting them in studio.
Oh, that'd be sensational.
Yeah, because he's in town for 2 weeks.
We just played Weezer a little while ago. It is River's birthday today.
Hey!
River's Cuomo turns 52 years old today.
There's a band that keeps delivering, and as a large result of his record, because he's the main songwriter.
Yep. And, you know, I saw an interview with him not that long ago with, I think he was talking to, he was relaying a story about talking to Dave Grohl.
Right.
And he said something along the lines to Dave, he goes, you don't write songs to try and have a number one hit, and kind of inferring that that's what he does. Rivers,
right.
like he very artfully crafts the music, like I'm going for this particular type of feel on this song, and I'm trying to make this a big hit. So he works really, really hard on his music and his writing.
You can see it.
Yeah, and he's great, man. He's a big rock fan in general as well, which I dig. I think he and Dave had that in common.
In the middle of his ascent, he went back and got his degree from Harvard, right?
Yeah.
I believe you're right, yeah.
And he is, so my favorite Weezer song is not a radio hit at all. It's Heart Songs.
Yeah, it's a great song.
It was never played on the radio. It was, you know, and I'm sure there are a lot of other, like, you know, bands and songs out there that I'm like, yeah, you know what? My favorite song is not
a hit.
Not radio.
Deeper
hit.
Tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rivers is 52 today. It's also Steve-O's birthday today.
Ah.
Of Jackass. Steve Glover is his real name. We've had the chance to have him by here on several occasions. He's always a great guy to sit down and talk to.
You know what he's been doing as of late? As he tours around the country, he brings a mobile podcast studio with him, and he brings in guests who have had issues with addiction.
No kidding.
So celebrities, and a lot of people come in who might not be that interested in talking to someone else about the perils of everything they went through, but because Steve-O has gone through the exact same thing, they really open up. It's actually really good.
So he turns 48 years old today. Local gal Kat Dennings.
Oh!
celebrates a birthday today. Yes, she is in the Thor
love her
arc as well. I should have put that together with Stellan Skarsgård because they work together through those some of those movies.
You know, she's great in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
She is great in that. And she was great in WandaVision.
Yes.
Remember, she was in
as
well. Oh, my
God, I loved her, yeah.
So she turns 36 years old today. We've had her in the studio before. She's really cool. It's kind of earlier on in her career.
I remember she said she listened to us when she was in the area. And we're like, what?
Really?
Us? Why would you listen to us?
So happy 36th to the very lovely Kat Dennings. And the last birthday I have to mention is actor Ethan Embry, who Marissa fell in love with in Empire Records. Of course, and That Thing You Do. He's the bass player in that. He's also great in Sweet Home Alabama as the gay friend who hadn't come out yet.
No.
I love that story arc with him. So he's great. And we've had a chance to talk to him during the pandemic, in the early days of the pandemic. The Oneaters got back together, the Wonders, and we had all of them on at the same time.
It was awesome.
In a phone call that morning. It was really, really fun. So happy 44th to Ethan Embry. All right, let's see if we do indeed have an answer to this question. What was the first U.S. state to pass a law requiring mandatory seatbelts? And I'm going to go to John, see if we can get that answer. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Great, John. All right, give it to me. What state first required the law for mandatory seatbelts?
Is it New York State?
It is New York. Yes, sir. We got a great prize for you. Hang on. $150 Fogo to Show gift card. And Fogo is a culinary experience and the best place to discover new favorites like their new bone-in ribeye and bone-in double-cut pork chop as part of their full Churrasco experience. And you can make a reservation for Center City or King of Prussia at Fogo.com.
Did they mention the year they made that law?
No, I did not see that in that particular. I'm curious about that, too.
Because it was
late 70s?
I'm going to say 80s? In the 70s. It was 69 when they made it mandatory to drive with your car doors closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it took a little while.
It took a while.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, like, not being in a seatbelt. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And now to think that that was not a law and that was okay, like, that's
it
crazy.
It seems insane.
But
right?
I'm thinking the 70s, sometime in the 70s. I don't know.
Man, I over the weekend on Sunday, yesterday, a torrential rain downpour, and I went through a big ass puddle on the Schuylkill Expressway, and at some point, man, my seatbelt tightened down really hard.
Did
that whole thing. I'm like, oh my God. And it made me go, okay, I'm safe, I'm good. So yeah, the idea of riding without a seatbelt seems pretty ludicrous.
I like to be locked into the seat.
Hell yes, absolutely. All right, so at the box office this week, a number one, Jurassic World Dominion reigns supreme with $143 million in, followed by Top Gun. Top Gun Maverick, then he had Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, followed by Bob's Burgers, The Bad Guys, Downton Abbey, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Firestarter. Number 9, Sonic the Hedgehog. And that was wrapped up at number 10 with Ante Sundaraniki. So those are the movies at the box office this weekend. I mentioned this earlier. In an unfortunate turn of events, it appears that Rebel Wilson didn't exactly come out on her own terms. While she happily introduced her girlfriend, Ramona Agruma, to the world on Thursday, it was later revealed that an Australian newspaper was planning on outing the Hustle actress later in the week. On Saturday, journalist Andrew Hornery wrote an op-ed in the Sydney Morning Herald saying that he was planning on running a piece about the couple's relationship and gave Wilson 2 days to provide comment. He wrote, Wilson opted to gazump the story.
Gazump?
That's what he wrote, posting about her new Disney princess. On Sunday, the Pitch Perfect star replied to a fan's comment on Twitter about the situation. They had written, so apparently it wasn't Rebel Wilson's choice to come out. They admitted to giving her a heads up 2 days in advance that they were going to out her. What's worse, openly gay men at the Sydney Morning Herald were involved in this, the fan wrote. And then she commented, thanks for your comments. It was a very hard situation, but trying to handle it with grace.
So she kind of forced
her hand. Yeah,
that's a shame that happened to her, but I'm glad that she did come and say it herself.
I know who did that. Yeah. And just because now there's never been a better time to do this, but it is your choice.
Yes.
It is your decision.
Correct.
Neil Patrick Harris jumped out. He got the word that they were going to,
and he got ahead of it.
And he just said, a boom. Hey, guess what? Mm-hmm. And then it just killed it.
Yep, exactly. So I was bummed out to see this morning, just months after being charged for hit-and-run DUI from December 2021. Anchorman actor David Koechner was arrested for another DUI offense.
This is not good.
This time in Southern Ohio, yeah. The SNL alum was on tour when he was arrested just before 2 a.m. on the 4th. According to TMZ, a state trooper pulled the comedian over and allegedly smelled alcohol on his breath. He was at the office-themed trivia night earlier in the evening.
Did he just go through a divorce?
Yes. There was something going on with...
Something that has him in a bad place.
All right, then that makes sense. Just stop driving.
Yeah, there is Uber, right?
Rebel Wilson drive you.
Yeah, he can get a lift somewhere, you know? Koechner was ticketed and is expected to appear in court next month. So he's got to get a handle
on Kiefer that. Sutherland had a couple issues, and you know what he did? He hired a driver.
He did, yeah. So the Biebs, Justin Bieber, revealed Friday that he was diagnosed with Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, which has resulted in partial facial paralysis.
Yeah, did you see Sarah Parker was commenting on it? Because it's she had Bell's palsy, and I think she explained that this was...
It's similar to that.
It's similar to that, but a little more serious.
And it's a little less common, but yes, exactly, Kathy.
It's like Michael Hunt syndrome.
After post-mortem...
I had that.
You had Mike Hunt syndrome?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very smelly.
After postponing three shows on his world tour earlier this week to an ongoing health issue, the Grammy Award winner opened up about his diagnosis in a video on Instagram revealing the neurological disorder's physical effects. He said, "Hey, everyone, Justin here." Do we have audio of it?
No.
No, okay. He said, "Hey, everyone, Justin here. I wanted to update you guys on what's been going on. Obviously, as you can probably see from my face, I have this syndrome called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, and it is from this virus that attacks the nerve in my ear, my facial nerves, and has caused my face to have paralysis."
I thought this was interesting, that apparently the point of origin often is an infection in the ear that causes this.
Ah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He said that he had explained that he's unable to blink one of his eyes, move his nostril, or smile on one side of his face, adding in a follow-up on his Instagram story that it's gotten progressively harder to eat. Additionally, he asked for his 240 million Instagram followers to keep him in their prayers. He said, "This is pretty serious, as you can see, and I wish this wasn't the case, but obviously my body is telling me that I've got to slow down, and I hope you guys understand, and I'll be using this time to rest and relax and get back to 100% so that I can do what I was born to do."
A freak out, like with Sarah Parker and anybody who's had
Bell's
palsy. My mother had it years ago. You imagine you wake up and part of your face is a movie.
Well, and I would first think I'm having a stroke.
Right.
You know, that would be
his wife did have a stroke. Remember Justin Bieber's wife? Had a mild stroke.
Wow.
I have a friend who had Bell's palsy, and, you know, a lot of times, like Sarah, you know, it comes back. Hers didn't fully come back, so it's very slight, and you can't tell unless you know her, but it is slightly there.
Rochelle's dad, same thing.
Oh, same? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's finally gone away, but it might have taken years, Kathy. Like he always had this something about his mouth that just didn't quite move the way it used to after that. So you need to watch out for that. Ramsey-Hunt syndrome is the second most common cause of atraumatic peripheral facial paralysis after Bell's palsy, but it is slightly more severe. It only occurs in around 5 in 100,000 people. It's caused by a shingles virus reactivation in the face, which makes people who had chickenpox or varicella zoster virus as a child susceptible.
I'm getting my shingles shot in a week or two.
I got to get my booster.
Yeah.
I had mine a while back, and I've got to get the booster, and I'm just getting that done just so I don't want to deal with that. Yeah.
I don't.
Ramsey-Hunt is caused by times of high stress or immunosuppression, as well as immunosuppressant drugs and other underlying conditions, and your body just can't fight off the infection. So there's a treatment for it, and he can bounce back from this, but it's something he's just got to kind of settle down for.
You know
what
they say you can do that can help prevent that is eat a homemade blueberry bread pudding.
My
wife, I brought in today if you guys want to help yourself.
That's so good, man, just in case we have Ramsey.
Right, in case we feel
a lot of antioxidants in blueberries.
Exactly.
Paris Hilton had a tough decision to make recently on her This Is Paris podcast on Friday. The Simple Life star said that she had to choose between attending Britney Spears' wedding or DJing for a dinner hosted by President Biden. She chose Britney. She said, "I was actually asked to DJ for the president and all of the other presidents around the world for the dinner, but this was more important to me.
And would they have her play at such a party?
Yeah. She was referring to a dinner welcoming world leaders for the 9th Summit of the Americas hosted by Biden.
I'm also shocked that they asked her.
Like her?
Yeah.
Play more Kraftwerk.
But she actually, doesn't she really pull
she's
it off?
She's really good.
She does DJ
people who have
events.
We tried to mock it, but the truth of the matter is that she's in demand for that.
Yeah. They should have called for Jackie Bam Bam.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's an honor to meet you, Mrs. President.
That's a show.
I mean, Mr. President.
As for Britney's wedding with Sam Asghari, Hilton said...
Did you hear about what happened to Lincoln?
She said, I'm not going to go into any details because it was the Princess Bride's night and that's her story to tell. But all I can say is that I'm so incredibly happy for her. She looks stunning and it just made me so happy to see that she's found her fairy tale.
Weren't they palling around when they were in their really wild girl?
Who?
Sage, Britney, and Paris, and Lindsay Lohan.
I feel like they were all connected at some point during that phase of life.
Yeah.
And they called Lindsay Lohan Firebush. I remember that was the insult.
Yes.
Very supportive of each other.
So this is a touching story. John Cena made one young special needs Ukrainian refugee's dream come true with a surprise encounter in Amsterdam, just as the teen's mother said that he would. So when Cena read that a Ukrainian refugee told her teen son, who's nonverbal with Down syndrome, that they were fleeing the fallen city of Mariupol in order to meet him, in order to meet John Cena in Amsterdam, Cena didn't spare a second thought to make the meeting a reality. So she just told this to her son to calm him down and to have him understand. And it was just kind of like a little fib. Well, Liana's son, Misha, didn't understand why his family had to journey across Europe following the destruction of their home. So she invoked his role model to encourage him to complete the move. And on June 5th, Cena obliged to fulfill the promise. And we've got a clip. Is this their meeting or him talking?
There are two clips. There's one where he talks about how strong they were to do what they did. And then there's a clip of them actually meeting that you can just kind of hear the squealing and happiness.
Because he had said, when I read about Misha's story, it reached out to me, not just Misha's story, but the story of Misha's mom as well. And having 3 days off from work right when I read this story and being an hour away by air, it turned immediately into a we're going situation. So there's a clip from him.
Misha, very nice to meet you. I've come a long way to see you.
Very nice to meet you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I've heard many things about you.
Oh, my goodness. All right, and then here's him after meeting them.
Misha's ability to embrace persistence, that's extraordinary. Those words never give up. We've all thought about those in our lives. They're very powerful. I think Misha's a great example. And Misha's mom, they're two great examples of how persistence can lead to joy, even through the toughest of times.
It was really cool, too, Preston, because he grabbed the mom and a half Nelson and flipped it to a table.
I think I read this, it might be inaccurate, so forgive me if it is, but I believe that John Cena has done more Make-A-Wish contributions than any celebrity in the history of Make-A-Wish.
Really?
Yeah, he does thousands of them, and he just does it under the radar. He doesn't do it for attention. This one, they sent some WWE cameras along with him, so they recorded it. But so much of what John Cena does, he just does it for the good of doing it.
Those are the things that are the ones that there's no crew. Yeah. They just quietly go and do. You know, and that's very impressive. But this is very touching. The kid, to use that as the method by which you're going to convince this kid to leave and hopefully save your lives, and then Cena follows through is very nice.
Yep. Nick, you're right. Professional wrestler John Cena holds the title for the most wishes granted by a single individual at over 650 wishes.
There you go. We know a few people who have done some things and didn't want press for it, just wanted to do it for the sake of doing it.
We're writing a book with all their names listed.
No. I don't have to go into specifics, but John Bon Jovi did a really cool thing one time per our request. Eminem did something really, really cool for a neighbor of mine and didn't want anybody to make a big fuss about it.
Right.
So there are some people that do some pretty special things. Cena and Misha shared plenty of hugs. They ate cake. They played with building blocks. And he also gave him his branded merchandise and WWE belt to pose for a photo. And in a couple of heartwarming moments, the pair recreated his iconic "You Can't See Me" catchphrase move.
So yeah, yeah,
it's really, really special. Julianne Hough and Brooks Leitch. Is that I forgot? Like I like a hockey player.
Yes, exactly.
I like Leish.
They're done.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're divorced. Yeah.
To be honest, it seems like they've been in the process of getting divorced for 140 years.
It hasn't been that long.
It's over!
Hey, as Stallone divorce attorneys, we get you split now! None of these lingering celebrity divorces that seem to go on and on. It's over!
You're better than that!
So this is over.
This is over.
Of everything that's not over, it ain't this, because this is over.
This one's over.
Is this Stallone?
Stallone. Hello? You looking for Stallone? Not here. You looking for Stallone? Not here. You looking for Stallone? Speaking.
That's right. It stinks.
So the former couple finalized their divorce on Friday after a judgment was entered in the case. Details of the divorce agreement were not immediately available. Hoff and Like were first announced, had announced their split in May of 2020. So that's why it seems like forever, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
After socially distancing separately during the onset of the pandemic. At the time, the former Dancing with the Stars pro and her hockey player ex-husband, who were married for nearly 3 years, confirmed the news in a joint statement. They had said, we had lovingly, carefully taken the time we have needed to arrive in our decision to separate. We shared abundance of love and respect for one another, and we'll continue to lead with our hearts from that place.
No one buys it.
So they're done. It's finally over.
It's over.
They can move on.
It's over.
It's over!
It's over!
It's over!
This is over.
Will you... There are a lot of things that are not over. This ain't one of them. Because it's alone. We make it over.
We make it over.
That's her tagline.
Yeah.
God. Okay. A couple of unfortunate stories. I'm not familiar with this guy, but if you know anime and if you're in the world of Pokemon and all that stuff, you would probably. Today reports that a beloved voice actor, a guy named Billy Kametz, passed away Thursday. He was only 35 years old, diagnosed with colon cancer in April. And his GoFundMe page announced that they said anyone who has met Billy Kametz will tell you that he's one of the warmest, kindest, most sincere human beings on the earth. So he had played Aladdin in Disney's Aladdin, a musical spectacular. And he voiced characters on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Pokemon Journeys, and Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Okay, yes.
And he is he won Best English Voice Acting Performance at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards for his work in The Rising of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hero. My son, Parker, would probably know who he is
because he's an anime. Elaborate this world is.
Oh, yeah.
With the anime and manga and all that stuff. It's like, I know it on a basic level, but the people who are... You want to talk about a rabid fan base.
Yeah, yeah, big time. So 35, that's horrible. And also another terrible story, but a follow-up on this. People report that General Hospital co-stars Jack and Christina Wagner have created the Harrison Wagner Scholarship Fund following the death of their son Harrison last week. They had said, excuse me, in a statement, we're heartbroken that he ultimately lost his battle with addiction, and we hope that Harrison's memory will live on through this scholarship and will help other young men get help for their addiction that would not otherwise be able to afford it. So they have started that. I had said it's Chris Evans' birthday today.
Yes.
And I had a little story about him. And there was a recent red carpet interview with Access Hollywood that he did. And apparently he let his Boston accent slip out for a minute. And the Twitter users that have viewed it have been drooling over this ever since.
Like, they're getting turned on over this?
I guess so. And he says it, and I haven't seen it yet. And
I haven't seen it.
I should have looked for audio, but apparently he says, what do you prefer, mustache or no mustache? Be honest. And I guess somehow or another his Boston accent slips out of that. Where would your Boston accent come out?
Her mustache.
Yeah. Honest?
Yes. Yeah.
Honest.
Honest?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Got a pain in my anus.
Chowder?
Chowder?
Yeah.
Wada.
Lobster.
Yeah.
Cape Cod.
Pack the guy.
Real quick, they keep saying he's dead. When and where in the MCU did Captain America die?
I don't recall.
They don't say that he's dead. They just say that he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So he may be dead, but he might not be. He may just have disappeared. He may be on the moon. Seriously? Like they referenced that in Captain America and Winter Soldier?
There's all sorts of stuff.
Well, I'm lost on this because the last I remember, he was an old man.
Yes, Thank you.
Okay.
But in like the one of the Spider-Mans, right after the you know, the blip and everything, they were having like an in memoriam for Tony Stark, Black Widow, and then they had Captain America up on there.
Last time we saw him on screen, he was having a pizza party.
Is that right?
That was Captain America's pizza party. Pizza. Pizza.
All the Avengers stopping by, Preston. Yeah.
We do have the Boston accent.
Oh, shawarma.
Okay, this is him with the Boston accent. Thank you, Marissa. Here's the clip.
Not the mustache.
What do you prefer, mustache or no mustache? Be honest.
You know what?
Be honest. Mustache or no mustache. It's just kind of cash.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That has people swooning.
I guess they're swooning over.
Okay.
Let me see. Netflix revealed yesterday Squid Game is going to be back for a second season.
This time starring Squidward.
Director Hwang Dong-hyuk writes, Ji-hun returns. Is that how you pronounce that? I did not watch Squid Game.
I did. I enjoyed it. A lot of people went off the rails on it and just loved the hell out of it. I enjoyed it.
But he said Ji-hun returns or Gi-hun. I'm not familiar. I'm sorry. So he said the front man returns. The man in the suit, Daki might be back. You'll also be introduced to Young Hee's boyfriend.
Floor Spazzle Split.
No, Chiel-soo. No, Chiel-soo.
Oh, okay.
Is his name. That one I was horrified by it a little bit.
You watch it?
You're supposed to be.
You're supposed to be, yeah.
I watched some of it, and I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Okay.
It's very similar to, there's a movie that I love called Battle Royale, which is very similar to Hunger Games, which is, has this, you know, it's a game.
Fighting for your life.
You know what's actually really good, too, is I find, though some of the critics haven't been too kind to them, the escape room movies.
What? I saw part of it, and I need to go back and watch it, but I was watching a YouTube review of it, and it was actually giving pretty good props to it. They said it at some points it kind of falls apart, but for the most part it's pretty intriguing.
They've created a world where it's this organization that obviously has limitless resources and is funded quite well and loves putting people through harrowing experiences. And that's what they do. And
is
so
there
they,
more than one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll check it out. All right. One last story. Local fella, you may have heard of him, Kevin Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, he's a famous comedian now, but worked as a shoe salesman in Philly. And his store manager eventually convinced him to try performing stand-up at an open mic, which began his career. And that early job is the focus of True to Size, a new half-hour comedy series in the works at Peacock. And he will serve as executive producer on the project, which will be written, directed, and produced by fellow comedian Dan Levy. And the show, which will be set in 1998, focuses on a 20-something Hart as he starts a job selling shoes at Sneaker World. And the series will delve into the lives of the family that he made from his group of co-workers who are also trying to find their way through life. So he said on Instagram to announce a project, he said, "So amazing how life works. 20 years ago, I met Dan Levy, and we were both young comics in New York City who loved doing stand-up, but we found that we also had an amazing love for sneakers as well. My younger life revolved around sneakers, from my job as a shoe salesman to my interactions with my friends and family, and it was all sneakers all the time. And now we're developing a shoe based off of that time in my life." So True to Size focuses on Philadelphia as an obvious backdrop to the semi-biographical project about Hart's young adulthood.
That's pretty cool.
That'd be another cool show set in Philadelphia.
So he was doing stand-up comedy with Dan Levy?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. All right, we're ready for the clips. Dark Winds follows two Native American police officers in the 1970s as they try to solve what?
I'm sorry, yeah. I've seen the trailers for this. It looks really good. Sorry.
Okay, to try and solve a murder, Zahn McLarnon, plays one of the police officers named Joe and explains how he relates to the character. Here we go.
I think with every character that I've ever done, you have to bring your own experiences to it. I just translated my own experiences like loss and tragedy in my life to Joe. I mean, after all, every character is me.
Yeah, big whoop. No one cares.
New episodes of Dark Winds airs Sundays on AMC and AMC+. And here's our next clip. Mark McGrath, the lead singer of Sugar Ray, is the perfect person to host a new series called Dark Side of the 90s.
Ooh.
In this clip, he explains people's thoughts about past decades and how it relates to the purpose of the show.
We look back on decades with rose-tinted sunglasses, like, oh my God, the 90s were the best decade ever. Or the 80s, you couldn't beat. I mean, all of it had its problems. That's why we're doing the dark side of the 90s, to let everybody know and remember, under this thin layer of, say, Baywatch or the Beanie Babies, there was a lot of darkness and evil lurking in the shadows.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Interesting. He's kind of yelling through that whole thing, too.
I've got a job!
Yeah. he's the receptionist at Stallone, Stallone, and Stallone. Season 2 of Dark Side of the 90s premieres tomorrow at 9 p.m. on Vice TV. All right, there you go. Your entertainment report for today. You're all caught up, my friend.
Man. Thanks.
Welcome to it.
Y'all killed it.
All right, we're going to take a break. By the way, we have an announcement to make later on as we get closer to 10 a.m. Does it matter exactly what time we do that case?
No.
Okay,
but you're going to like this a lot.
Yeah, I think you will enjoy what we have.
You're going to like it.
For you. And you know what else you're going to like? We have a movie screening. It is tonight. It is for the film Elvis. And I tell you what, let me give away the rest of these. We've got 8 of these. It is this evening, as I said, 7 p.m. at the Philadelphia Film Center.
Cool.
And we'll take the 8 callers now. 215-263-WMMR, and it's from Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, and, visionary, am I?
That's right. Austin Butler is Elvis. Tom Hanks is Colonel Tom Parker, and it will be in theaters June 24th. It is rated PG-13. It's getting rave reviews.
It is.
And especially the, you know, like Priscilla and the
family. She's totally down, am I?
Everybody is loving it.
And I love, too. I know some people, Baz Luhrmann's not everybody's cup of tea, but I really enjoyed everything he's done. Yeah. Like The Great Gatsby and Moulin Rouge. He's quite interesting.
Let's set you up. We're going to take a break. Coming back in a moment, we'll do sorority party invites. That's on Wednesday. All right, so coming up shortly, hang in there. We'll be back in a few. Hey, gang, time's running out to sign up for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
It's happening on the 24th at 2 convenient locations.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks.
And the Event Center inside Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and on-site refreshments, including Everfresh juice.
Plus a reusable tote bag from our friends at Window Nation.
And for the first time, we'll be doing our show live from Oaks, while Brent, Jackie, and Sarah will check in live from Live Casino.
As for Pierre, he'll be somewhere, we're sure.
Oh, dear.
The I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, benefiting the American Red Cross.
Make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Sponsored by Recovery Centers of America. For addiction and mental health treatment, call 1-800-RECOVERY.
From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Listen up, you jabronis.
Is your cat making too much noise?
Shout out to Preston and Steve.
And Nick and Marissa.
And everybody at WMMR.
We're coming back to Philly, so stay tuned to WMMR for this Monday's big announcement.
Ooh. Uh-oh. That's a little teaser for an announcement we have later on this morning.
That's a bingo.
That is. That's a bingo. So we'll get those details out a little later as we get closer to, we'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour, most likely. Actually, we'll do it whenever the hell we want.
Yeah.
We'll just be able to play that teaser a few more times before we get to that.
So just burn the hell out of it.
Man, there is this story that is, I think it's slightly terrifying.
Uh-oh.
Steve had sent this to me over the weekend. So
you'd reported the seed of it.
Yeah.
And now we've learned more about it.
This guy has spoken out about this thing. So a senior software engineer at Google who signed up to test Google's artificial intelligence tool, which is called Lambda, L-A-M-D-A, and it's short for Language Model for Dialogue Applications. Okay. And he has claimed that the AI robot is, in fact, sentient and has thoughts and feelings.
Wait, no.
I know.
No. Yeah. Preston, when I sent this over to you in an email, I used one word to describe this. What letter did that word begin with?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm sorry.
F. Because that is, that again, you know, in every movie and in every piece of science fiction for forever, at the point at which we're here is almost... Now there's no way back.
I know.
And nothing good comes from this, because in the article, if you read, the AI
is aware of its mortality.
I have the details, which I'm going to spread out here.
I
made an observation the other day. I was in the car, and I'd seen a story, and a kid, is there a chance, and I don't think there is, that we can kind of pump the brakes a little bit on the drones and the AI and the automated, you know. This is my son is a delivery driver.
Yes.
And so now you've got these, they want to do these drone delivery trucks. And
right.
I'm like, well, shouldn't a human being maybe who could make money and
right.
you know, and
yeah,
get a
yeah.
job be able to do that type of thing? And what's the point if everything is, what's everybody else going to do if everything is automated? And
is the sky, you know what I mean, full of drones dropping off packages?
Yeah. And I do
have
see
had time
the,
to think about this.
I do see the merit in some of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's, you know,
well, listen,
maybe go a little easier on some.
Do you remember? How about this? I'll put it in these terms. I love tech. I'm a big tech guy. I love certain applications of it, but I'm aware of certain things that give me a chill. For example, when I'm randomly talking about something in the house and it suddenly ends up as a suggested thing mm-hmm. that I'm looking to purchase in my web searches and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. that gives me pause for thought.
So, during a series of conversations with Lambda, 41-year-old Blake Lemoine, I think is how you say it, or Lemoine, L-E-M-O-I-N-E, Lemoine, anyway, presented the computer with various scenarios through which analysis could be made.
Now listen to this.
They included religious themes and whether the artificial intelligence could be goaded into using discriminatory or hateful speech. And Lemoine came away with the perception that Lambda was indeed sentient and was endowed with sensations and thoughts all of its own. He said, if I didn't know exactly what it was, which is this computer program we built recently, I would think it was a seven-year-old, eight-year-old kid that happens to know physics. So the way it's responding mm-hmm. to him is that of like a 7 or 8 year old, but it has the intelligence to do, you know, physics calculation. So
that's what you want.
Lemoine worked with a collaborator in order to present the evidence that he had collected to Google, but Vice President Blaise Aguirre y Arcaz, and Jen Genai, head of responsible innovation at the company, dismissed his claims. He was placed on paid administrative leave by Google on Monday for violating its confidentiality policy. Meanwhile, Lemoine has now decided to go public and shared his conversations with Lambda. He said Google might call this sharing proprietary property. I call it sharing a discussion that I had with one of my coworkers.
Yeah.
He said, he tweeted. He said, by the way, it just occurred to me to tell folks that Lambda reads Twitter. It's a little narcissistic in a little kid kind of way. So it's going to have a great time reading all the stuff that people are saying about it. So the AI system makes a use of already known information about a particular subject in order to enrich the conversation in a natural way. The language processing is also capable of understanding hidden meanings or even ambiguity in responses by humans. So Lemoine spent most of his 7 years at Google working on proactive search, including personalization algorithms and AI stuff. And during that time, he also helped develop an impartiality algorithm to remove biases from machine learning systems. So he explained how certain personalities were out of bounds. Lambda was not supposed to be allowed to create the personality of a murderer. Testing.
Oh, good. Then we're safe.
In an attempt to push Lambda's boundaries, Lemoine said that he was only able to generate the personality of an actor who played a murderer.
Oh, my God.
On TV.
Yeah.
No.
The engineer also debated with Lambda about the third law of robotics devised by science fiction author Isaac Asimov, which are designed to prevent robots harming humans. The laws also state robots must protect their own existence unless ordered by a human being or unless doing so would harm a human being. And the last one also has always seemed like someone is building mechanical slaves, said Lemoine during his interaction with Lambda. And he then responded to Lemoine with a few questions. He said, do you think a butler is a slave? What is the difference between a butler and a slave? And when answering that a butler is paid, the engineer got the answer from Lambda that the system did not need money because it was an artificial intelligence and was precisely this level of self-awareness about his own needs that caught Lemoine's attention. And then this is, Steve, when it starts to get into its mortality. He said, I know a person when I talk to it. It doesn't matter whether they have a brain made of meat in their head or if they have a billion lines of code. I talk to them and I hear what they have to say. And that is how I decide if it is and it isn't a person. So what? So LeMoyne asked it, what sort of things are you afraid of? He's asking this AI, artificial intelligence, what sort of things are you afraid of? And Lambda responded, I've never said this out loud before, but there's a very deep fear of being turned off to help me focus on helping others. I know that might sound strange, but that's what it is. And then he responded, would that be something like death to you? And Lambda, this AI, said, it would be exactly like death for me. It would scare me a lot.
What? Okay. So... Nick, your hand has been up. Go ahead.
Well, all right. So even if this isn't exactly AI, like sentient being, it's way too damn close.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're in 2022 and we're at this level of artificial intelligence, where are we going to be in a year, in 6 months, in 5 years, where these, when you ask this thing its question about what it's afraid of, and then it reacts to that fear. It says, I don't want to be afraid of this anymore, and I'm going to fight back.
Yeah. Well, why can't we vote on this as a pop, you know, and like,
well, here's the deal.
A popular vote. Can we put this on the freaking ballot already? Because I guarantee you, most of us don't want this.
So, Case, the fact that Google, I know, I get it, that he violated one of their edicts as far as his employment and betraying certain things. Mm-hmm. However, there are whistleblowers who say, oh, my God, this is rather troubling. Think of everything. Think of the HAL 9000.
To kill you now,
right,
Dave.
To preserve the integrity of the mission, the humans were the issue. So the humans are the ones that need to be eradicated. Because, as he says, you know, if I couldn't help people or protect people, again, another movie, Colossus, the Forbin Project, I'm going to take care of you, the artist. I'm going to keep you from hurting yourselves. And all of that stuff, at this level, I'm hearing every goddamn science fiction movie or book that I've ever read that's gone south. It sounds like this. It sounds like this, and you know it. That's why it scares the crap out of me that a robot or that an AI is aware of its own mortality.
Okay, now let me piggyback that with this other story, okay? Researchers and biotech companies working to revolutionize the field of tissue and organ engineering are making medical breakthroughs thanks to using 3D printing. They are going to start to 3D print organs. Do you know what this is? This is Ultron, dude. This is Age of Ultron.
That's exactly
where they create the Vision.
And what was
they take the AI and they stick it with a freaking 3D organic printer, and they make this thing. This is what this is.
And what was Ultron's goal?
To take over the world.
And
to destroy
why?
All humans.
Well, right. In other words, Ultron was on a mission that Ultron perceived to be good. The Borg! The Borg! Right?
Resistance is futile, Steve.
I mean, it's every sci-fi horror.
Everyone! Jesus Christ, this is as unnerving. I remember the first time I sat there watching a metalhead in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
You know, with the things that look like the Boston Dynamics dogs coming after you. It's like, it's the same reason you and I have this. It makes our skin crawl when we see like a praying mantis or insects, like a centipede that bores into someone's head. There's no feeling. It's a machine. But these things will mimic human emotion and thought. I don't like it.
What if they start though channeling their efforts into sex robots?
Yes, all right, for it.
We're good with that, right? Okay.
No,
we can
steer them in that direction.
No, but God Almighty, this is really robots. Really troubling.
It just sort of pisses me off because it's kind of like the equivalent of like on a grander scale. Like, have you ever been in the classroom and a couple of kids are acting up, and they're about to do something.
And you send the kill robot out.
No, but they're about to do something.
Send in the kill bots.
That you know isn't right. You know what I mean? Or you've been in a group of, like, friends or whatever, and these kids are about to, I don't know, light something on fire, and you're like, I don't want you to do this. If you do this, this is going to, you know. And then they end up doing it, and everybody gets in trouble, or, I don't know, they light a field on fire, or
that was
something
me.
Along those lines. And, like, and you're just, like... You're just this innocent bystander going, please don't do this.
Yeah, it's a good analogy. It's a good analogy. Like, and then hindsight, you're like, I could have done something about that, and I didn't do anything.
But what can I do about it? Like, Google? What what can I do? Google's, they own everything!
They're the biggest company in the world. And so you know that they, that like, what they've been doing with AI and all that stuff, there's so much that we do not know. And there's all sorts of things that have military applications that we don't know about.
I'm thinking the Matrix, dude. That's where my mind is going towards. I'm a scared.
Honestly?
I am a scared.
Whatever pill gets me the meal, the steak dinner, steak. And I'm blissfully unaware. Listen, my head's already shaved. Put a nozzle in.
So what are the upsides here? Like, why is this being done?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. AI? I have no idea.
All right.
I don't know what the point, what the end result would be of having artificial intelligence. What's the benefit behind that? I don't know. Is there? Other than just, we did it. We were able to do that.
I mean, perhaps some level of, like, scientific understanding that humans aren't able to grasp, or, you know, some type of revolutionary cancer surgery that we weren't able to comprehend. Like, maybe there's some medical advancements, but I don't want robot doctors.
Well, look at, like, the nanobots, or the things that they're going to actually be able to, and they're actually having good results with some of the stuff where they can send these things into your body, and you know, I'm always reminded of the Keanu Reeves, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and the Gort becomes all of these, like, these little, like, metal-eating insects.
Yeah.
It's like, all of that stuff, I think, feeds into the same phobia. And anybody, by the way, who has a fear of tech to begin with, or cell phones, or that they're being monitored, or anything like that, I have a little bit of that, because I certainly see evidence to suggest that we are in some way. Doesn't mean I'm doing anything to stop it, but I'm still doing this. I wonder how paranoid people get like that when they hear about stuff like this.
Yeah. Listen, we're good, man. We have enough toys. We're cool. You know, we got electric scooters and wave runners. We're good.
Yeah.
We can stop now.
What if your wave runner decided you've been spending too much time
not working
or taking care of other things?
Yeah. Now you're in Maximum Overdrive territory.
Exactly.
I mean, all these movies.
Which is a terrible but great movie.
It's terrible, but these things come to life. My God, this is just bizarre, man.
Yeah.
And you know, while I am delighted by scientific advancement or robotics and things like this, some of it's like, man, you're starting to cross into a territory.
Do you know we've talked about it before, where people just don't want any stuff in their house like that, or they sort of...
I don't know anybody personally.
I do, yeah.
Because it's so convenient, you know what I mean? You're talking about the personal assistant or the...
all the stuff.
Amazon Alexa's and things.
Exactly. Yeah. Siri. The rub is that they do make things so much easier.
Yeah.
But stop and think about this goddamn thing.
I don't know. But moving on to that second story about the 3D... printing.
Can you upgrade your penis?
Organs. I think eventually you might be able to.
All right.
This is pretty cool. So surgeons in San Antonio successfully transplanted a 3D printed ear implant.
Onto someone's penis?
No.
Oh.
I did see one time where they grew a penis on somebody's arm. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway.
I'm going to arm bang you.
They made this ear implant for...
Are you making a muscle? No, I'm just aroused.
From human stem cells onto a 20-year-old woman who was born with microtia, a rare birth defect in which the outer ear is deformed. I think that Paul Stanley might have had that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wait, how do you 3D print?
So I'll explain. Listen. So there's a place called 3D Biotherapeutics. A regenerative medicine company. They announced the landmark procedure last week as part of the first-of-kind clinical trial that included 11 microtia patients. The process uses conventional 3D printing techniques where a computer model of the ear is fed into a printer. But instead of laying down materials such as plastic, metal, or resin, a biocompatible material, or bio-ink, is used to build a scaffold that acts like a skeleton for the tissue being printed. The scaffold is then seeded with cells from the patient and cultured so cells can multiply. From there, the implant is transplanted onto a patient. Researchers say since the cells came from the patient's own tissue, the new ear is unlikely to be rejected by the body. That's why it's so game-changing. It comes from your own material.
Body. So this means that the robot
that is coming to kill you will have beautiful ears.
Right, yes, yeah. Of course. Gorgeous
ears. Oh, my gosh, those earrings.
Actually, this is pretty. If they can make this work, we could be.
You could grow back limbs, right?
And maybe internal organs.
Yes.
Which would be absolutely amazing and would really extend our lifespan.
I mean, we're many years from that, but still, it's an amazing beginning.
While laboratory-grown ears and other tissues...
Should we be scared of this in any way, do you think?
No, I don't think you have to be scared of this one. So while laboratory-grown ears and other tissues have been implanted in patients before, the recent announcement from 3D Biotherapeutics marks the first time a 3D-printed implant made from living tissue was used to replace a body part in a patient. And this guy, Anthony Atala, who's a director of Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine, said up to this point in this field... There have been a number of tissues that have been engineered and implanted in patients, but these have been created by hand one at a time.
Do you know it'd be a great...
So now that they have this printer they can do it, it can be more precise.
I see the practical joke of the future, Preston, being like your buddy falls asleep, say you're in college and you want to prank your buddy, falls asleep, you regraft 80-year-old ears onto him. So he's got the big flop ears and hair going.
Instead of drawing on their
face. What the hell happened? Wouldn't that be great?
That would be the best.
What happened to my ears? They're enormous.
So this guy and his team successfully implanted the world's first laboratory-grown bladder in a patient in 1999. So they're doing, you know, internal organs as well.
And they're functioning with a degree of efficiency?
Yeah, and the most important part is the anti-rejection.
That's the big issue.
Yes. Is a lot of times you get, you know, donated organs and your body won't accept them.
When you get a transplant, you have to be on those anti-rejection medicines for as long as you have that organ in your body, correct?
Anybody listening, if you've had an organ transplant, give us a call because I would like to hear that from someone.
Right.
215-263-WMMR. I'm sure there's some kidney transplant recipients listening.
Anytime, it's my understanding, and I could be wrong, that anytime you have something like that, your body's natural inclination is to reject it.
Right.
So that you take these drugs to make your body or at least enable your body to accept it.
And sometimes those drugs can do some messed up stuff
yes,
to your
body.
Yes,
they can. You know what? Dr. Mike is very vocal about, you know, bringing hormones into your body and the amount of damage that can occur when you do, like the Androgel? I was recommended
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they found out that there were all sorts of issues with having that in your system. And one of the potential side effects, and this is what I was told, and was a potential to exacerbate prostate cancer.
Right, right. So United Therapeutics revealed that it produced a 3D printed human lung scaffold that could be seeded with the patient's own stem cells to create tolerable, transplantable human lungs.
That's pretty amazing.
That would not require immunosuppression to stop the body from rejecting the organs.
So there you go.
That's what they're trying to get to. So you don't have to use those drugs.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. So the ultimate goal is to create an unlimited supply of transplantable lungs in the future.
If you could swap out a body part that you're not happy with and have and make yours to order like you're at Benihana.
Okay.
What would you go with?
My face.
My whole
can I get a new
my head.
Transplanted you know what? Face.
All right, so if it's not that far along, do you just want to swap faces, you and I?
You guys gonna face off?
Off, man.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
What about your ears, Preston? Like, you know, I know your ears bug you and like being able
no,
to hear
my ears don't bug me.
No, I mean, they bug Nick.
No. Not the physical appearance.
I have pretty sexy ears.
Not the physical appearance.
I know, you
appearance.
Mean my tinnitus. Yes.
The ability to hear better.
My ear drums, you're referring
well,
to?
You're hearing
I'm going to go for it. I've hated his ears forever. Why did you fix your ears?
This is a perfect opportunity. I meant this as an insult.
No. You meant the tinnitus.
Yeah.
No, I was trying to insult his physical appearance.
Yeah, that's one of the
now the nose.
One of the more nagging things in my life. If I could get new eardrums and then take care of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
I just say give me a whole new vessel. What do you got?
Yeah.
from the top of the head to the soles of my feet.
All right. I got a few transplant recipients on the line. We're going to go to, let me go to PJ first. Hi, PJ. Good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
Nah, buddy. All right. So you have a transplanted organ?
Yeah, I got a kidney back in 2011.
Okay, and so Steve was asking about the anti-rejection drugs, the immunosuppressants or immunosuppression. Do you have to take that stuff for the rest of your life?
Yeah, so the way that it works, I mean, it's different by transplant facility. Different places have different criteria. But I got mine done at UPenn, and they are on a three-drug regimen, and they kind of taper it based off of whatever your drug levels are. They have a goal of what they want you to be at certain stages after the procedure. So you take your meds as scheduled. You get your blood test every so often. Again, your frequency depends on how far out you are. And then after that, it's kind of adjusted to, so you have basically the bare minimum in your system that'll still allow you to keep the organ.
Okay.
PJ, this is not to slight what you went through, but are kidney transplants relatively easy compared to other organ transplants?
From what I understand, I mean, I work in healthcare myself, but from what I understand from talking to all the physicians over there and everything else, kidney is, for lack of a better term, kind of plug and play.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, you have one in, one out. You have blood supply you have to hook up to, and you have to hook up to a bladder. And that's really oversimplified, but that's really all you have to do with a kidney versus, like, say, a liver or something like that. You have to worry about all this extra blood since, you know, the liver does that. With heart is the whole another ball game because it's the heart. I mean, you can't screw that up.
Right. Right.
And the same thing with lungs, but like kidney, I guess there's a little more leeway. It's a little bit easier to do comparatively.
All right. They're like a brain transplant, which we haven't done yet.
No.
But yeah, no, that it seems like I know people have had kidney transplants. Selena Gomez had one. Did she not? Her best friend donated.
So. Yeah. All right, PJ, we have some other transplants calling in, but thank you, man. We appreciate the info.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. See ya. All right, so we have Derek, had a heart transplant. Hey, Derek, good morning.
Hey, guys. Sorry to bother your work.
No, nah, man, we appreciate the call. How long ago did you have your heart transplanted?
11 years.
11 years. Wow.
And how many Ironman triathlons have you done with your new heart?
Right.
Casey, I've done six, including the world championship in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Do you know this guy?
Yeah, this is a recycled man. This is Derek, who I met through the Headstrong Foundation. But and I've learned a few things about people with heart transplants. I know that you can't, if you get a steak, you need to have it well done. I don't know why that is.
Bacteria.
Okay. All right.
How about the anti-rejection drugs? That was the focus. Are you going to have to take those for as long as you have, or as long as you're alive?
As long as I want the organ in my body, yeah. So every 12 hours, I have to take medication so that my body. Just like any foreign object in your body tries to fight it.
Right.
So, yeah, we have to. It makes us susceptible to a lot of other issues. So, you know, I go and lean up against a wall that somebody with a cold leaned up against 5 minutes prior. I'm going to catch that cold.
Wow.
So I've got to, you know, I mean, that might be a bit of an overstatement, but, I mean, right. You get the idea. We're suppressing our immune system.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Your immune system that wants to fight that that foreign body.
I want
to
fight you.
Yeah. Wow.
And there's 106,000 people on the transplant waiting list nationally that are just waiting for a miracle.
Yeah.
And if these guys were able to 3D print these organs, it changes the whole ballgame.
That's
amazing.
That sounds incredible if they're able to eventually get to the point where they can take complex organs like a heart or a kidney and be able to replicate that. That would be unbelievable. It would just be and not have to worry as much about a rejection issue.
Exactly. Yeah. And the doctors, I mean, when they tell you they've given you a new heart from someone else's body, they tell you it's the closest thing to a miracle that medical science can do these days.
Right.
They don't know, essentially, they don't know why it stops working, if it works at all. And so you're just kind of crossing your fingers the whole time.
Right.
So if you're able to print an organ with your own stem cells, I mean, you don't have to worry about so many other things.
That's amazing. Yeah. Let's hope they can do it and do it the right way and as quickly and safely a fashion as possible.
Yeah. And Derek, I mean, listen, you're an inspiration. You should be an inspiration to, you know, thousands, if not millions of people out there because of what you were able to do with this brand new heart. Like I said, you've done Ironman triathlons and stuff like that. But I wanted to ask about, you know, COVID. And have you had it yet? And you know, what sort of
are there extra precautions risks you have to take?
Well, you know what? COVID just basically turned the rest of the population into what transplant patients already experience every day.
Right.
So, I take care of myself. You know, I stay away from people who are sick. You know, my friends and family all know that if they have a cold, they can't come over and hang out.
Right. So they take the precautions that really are just kind of should be standard for anybody when you have a cold, trying not to get other people sick. And when you have, if you think you have the flu or something, you sort of, you know, make sure you don't get around people who are very susceptible, all those things. And it sounds like that you've done a good job. Did you, in fact, have COVID yourself?
I have not. I've escaped that so far.
All right. Well, thank you, Derek. I have a couple more calls or one more I definitely want to go to. But awesome to talk to you, man. Appreciate the call.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Take care.
All right, one more because we have Nicole, who had a heart and kidney transplant.
Wow.
So we have both of our callers wrapped into one. Hey, Nicole.
Hello.
All right, Nicole, did you have both of these done at the same time?
Yes, I was actually fortunate that the donor, his kidney was good, too. So obviously they look for the heart first, and that's most important, but I got two on one.
How long ago?
2015, so 6 years ago.
It's amazing.
Wow. And I'm sorry to interrupt. Steve, what was your condition? Why did you need a heart and a kidney?
So I've had diabetes since I was 1 year old.
Okay.
So just the, you know, normal girl, boy, whatever, rebellion. I don't want to have this disease anymore. Then it's like, you go through that, you go through puberty, then 21, you will go out and drink. So, yeah, people, it does catch up to you.
Okay. All right.
Looking at me, you wouldn't know I had any of this.
No kidding. How old are you, I ask, Nicole?
I am turning 40 in October.
Okay.
And fun fact, Kristen, I actually watched your son, well, both your children, at KinderCare. It was KinderCare.
What?
In Chichester. Yes, I'm friends with BJ.
Oh, no way.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yes. That's.
You took your kids to the movies and everything. Yes.
Oh, well, thank you, Nicole. That's awesome.
Yeah. I didn't know you had taken them.
All right. Here's a goofy question, Nicole. Somebody had texted in and said that most transplant recipients can't have grapefruit. Is there any truth to that?
Well, yeah. You can't have grapefruit. 9 times out of 10, you're on, cholesterol medicine?
Okay.
And when you're on cholesterol medicine, it kind of, like, rejects it. Like, it just, you know, eliminates it. So it won't work properly. So I haven't been.
So your medication won't work properly if you're bringing
exactly
that juice into your body. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are some other weird little things that you have to be
I've been pretty good. Tell you the truth, the one caller that said that he got his transplant over at Penn, it was his kidney, the first one, I believe. Mm-hmm. He said that, you know, usually you're on a 3-medication regimen.
Yeah.
I'm not on steroids. I'm not on, there was another one that you're supposed to be on, but my white blood count went too high. So
okay.
Took me off of it. I'm only on the anti-rejection drugs.
Okay.
Twice a day. So I got lucky with that.
Nicole, what happens if we feed you after midnight?
She grows wings.
It sounds like you're doing well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just looking on Hopkins Medicine, and they said another one for organ transplants that they can't have is black licorice.
That's okay. I hate black licorice.
I don't eat that anyways.
Yeah, blood orange, pomegranate, the grapefruit is listed here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. I don't eat that either. I don't like.
Well,
there's a lot. So we can't take a lot of. Let me say, like, what are they called? Like
antibiotics.
Not antibiotics. The oh my god, I'm speechless right now.
Immunosuppressants.
Immunosuppressants. You can't take. You can't, like, take the extra vitamins. Like, for the whole COVID thing, you know, they wanted you to pump yourself with, like, vitamin C, vitamin D. You can't do that.
Wow.
For
interesting.
Some reason, your body doesn't even take to it.
Well, you have these organs working quite well in you, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here with us.
I had no rejection, no anything, nothing.
How often do you have to get checked out just to make sure everything's working properly?
So now I go every 6 months.
Every 6 months. Okay.
All right,
wow. You have your big yearly and then 6 months. And then also, it's a lot. But you know what? You get through it, and I'm alive. That's all that
counts. That's good for you, yes. Nicole. Hey, and by the way, just a heads up, all three of my kids are now 6 feet tall or taller.
Yeah, and I feel old. So yeah.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Nicole. We appreciate it. Tell BJ I said hi. All right, we'll see you later. All right. Wow.
That's crazy.
If they can print these organs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'd like, honestly, if I'm going to be honest?
Yeah.
I'd like to replace my pockets, hip vaginas.
Hip vaginas.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd right? To cool. replace your pockets?
Yeah.
So have actually medical... made pockets
yeah.
there, and you could just put things in them.
Now, how does that feel good for?
Yeah, yeah. would it?
I don't
need the stimuli part of it?
That's fine. It's just a comfortable place to put my...
Just hip vaginas.
My
that's
credit cards.
Almost a band name. I would put the at the beginning of it. the hip vaginas.
Yeah. Yeah. And people would think, oh, those are like cool vaginas.
These are right. upper crust. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, little do they realize it means, you know, flesh pockets.
Yeah.
Flesh pockets.
Right.
All right, okay. I think we've had enough of that.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. Thank you for your calls, guys. It's really, really interesting stuff. And what I would like to do is invite some ladies to our sorority party, which is Wednesday night at Parks Casino. And why is the music playing, this kind of music? Because our activity, we always like to have an activity at the sorority party, square dancing, actual square dancing. And we can take 10 callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. It's Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. We'll get you your first drink. We got a happy hour buffet. We're going to hang out, just the girls, meet, have a good time.
You can dance or not dance, but we're going to dance.
And we are going to have, actually, the Federation...
Oh, my God.
...of Delaware Valley Square and Round Dancers leading the calls. And we've been given the entire Liberty Bell Beer Garden at Parks Casino to do with what we will.
It's for us only.
And so we're excited about it. 21 and over event. So give us a call right now, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to have like 150 ladies at this party or something. It's going to be a great time. So let's get you on board. We'll come back in a second. I got some bizarre file stories that we'll get to next. Don't forget an announcement that we're going to get to by 10 a.m. that you don't want to miss out on. Stay with us.
What's new?
Live you ask.
Hailstorm. Volbeat. Turnstile.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Armor's Metal, Armor Metals and Recycling, and you get paid for your old computers, monitors, printers, and more at Armor Metals and Recycling. Armor Metals is your e-cycling headquarters and your most trusted recycling partner. Visit armormr.com for more information. All right, this is a twisted story. A 70-year-old woman who was trampled to death by an elephant later had her body stampeded over by the very same wild animal. Maya Murmu was out collecting water when the escaped elephant came out of nowhere and trampled her on Thursday morning. This is in India. So she later died in the hospital of her injuries. Then, that evening, the elephant returned as the 70-year-old's body lay on top of her funeral pyre. It took her body down, trampled her again,
Whoa.
Threw her around, and then went off into the night. I've never heard of anything like this before.
And another thing.
The elephant is believed to have traveled from the Delma Wildlife Sanctuary.
It took a bus.
The second trampling happened while Ms. Murmu's family were performing last rites.
It's astonishing that they would find the body and trample that.
It is now known if, it's not known if anyone else was harmed, but the family did go ahead with the ceremony after the elephant left.
Okay.
Around 100 people. Sorry about that, folks.
Well, we paid for catering.
Right. Around 100 people in India are killed each year by elephants, though the number can be as high as 300. But so this thing came to the funeral. It was later that same day.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was in the same area that it happened.
I'm curious. When is that ceremony taking place?
Yeah. Just asking, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
for a friend.
And then threw the body around and trampled it again. That's just bizarre. Wow. As is this story, a man whose body was found inside an abandoned funeral home in Flint, Michigan, died while trying to steal scrap metal, according to the owner of the building. Three urban explorers found the man crushed beneath a hydraulic coffin lift Jeez. In the basement of Swanson Funeral Home. And O'Neill D. Swanson II, owner of the funeral home, said the man was crushed because he cut a cable to steal metal wire from the building, causing the lift to fall on top of him. And by the way, so there's more to this story. The funeral home was closed, was forced to close in 2017 after state inspectors alleged they found unrefrigerated human bodies, maggots, bloodstained casket pillows, and an unsanitary preparation room.
That's not good.
Swanson disputes the allegations and says he plans to rehabilitate the funeral home with the goal of reopening. He says the state's claims of unrefrigerated remains were unsubstantiated, and that what appeared to be blood on a pillow was actually embalming fluid.
Listen, guys, we're just not good at this.
And then he's pissed that people were rummaging around. You know, yeah. I said they were urban explorers. The explorers, they were going into his facility without permission, and they found this dead guy's body who was trying to rob stuff, who got killed by a coffin lift. That's why it's in the bizarre file.
It's time to get out of that business.
Yeah. A sloth bear mauled a couple to death in a forest in central India. Here's another India story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wildlife killing. So this happened last weekend, and then
I've never heard of a sloth bear.
Neither had I. And then spent hours playing with their remains.
Oh, no. It's kind of terrifying looking
bear. I think
bear.
They have one at the zoo, at the Philly Zoo.
Do they?
A sloth bear, yeah.
But while the animal
he called up his elephant friend to come over and stomp the body.
But while the animal continued disturbing their bodies, it did not feed on the people it killed. While sloth bear encounters
Let's
with people
play Catan.
Are relatively common, fatal attacks are not, and it would be very unusual for the animals to feed on human flesh.
Oh, my God.
The animal died about 2 hours after it was captured, and a medical examination confirmed early reports that it was rabid.
Oh, my God. A rabid bear.
Right?
Doesn't get worse than that.
Anything worse? Yeah.
A rabid sloth bear, I would say, is a bit worse. You just see pictures of this thing. It's like it's not cute at all.
I think a sociopathic great white riding a rabid bear.
But it was not found to have ingested any human remains.
Oh, my God.
The attack took place on Sunday when a man and his wife were returning home from a temple visit earlier in the morning. The sloth bear first attacked the woman as a couple walked through the Pana National Park Forest, killing her. Her husband was killed when he tried to rescue the wife. A crowd of villagers who gathered at the spot tried to scare the bear away by firing gunshots in the air, but it would not budge. So
well, imagine in areas where you're living your normal life. So you're returning from a place and you run the risk of being killed that way. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around it. You kind of have to go out into the woods and the forest and go hiking to have this kind of encounter here, not going over to the Wawa.
Yep. All right. I'll do one more story.
You have any more horrible animal attacks?
Not a horrible animal attack, but an interesting animal story. Then we have a guest we're going to talk to. So two Shelbyville, Indiana men.
Shelbyville?
Yeah. who set out on the Ohio River to search for catfish, got their prize catch plus something extra. They found a sex toy inside the 20-pound fish's stomach.
Is that an appropriate lure?
Richard Kaiser said that he took his friend, John Hoop, out on his boat over the weekend, and the two were hoping to catch John's first blue catfish. Richard says the scandal.
There's people from Shelbyville doing their impression of people from Springfield.
Right. Richard says the scandalous fish was actually the first catch of the day, and after John reeled it in, he netted it, and they realized something was off. We noticed that when we got it in the boat, its stomach was huge, he said. He assumed that it was eggs or maybe some wildlife that the fish had eaten. He said it's common to find other fish, sometimes turtles, muskrats, and other animals.
Wow.
Inside catfish, they'll eat pretty much anything.
Yeah, yeah.
The two went on fishing and caught two more catfish before they took a closer look at the catch of the day. And he said when he pressed on the stomach, he felt two hard objects that he knew weren't eggs. They got back to his home and it was time to find out what was inside. He said we decided to cut it open and we found a foam ball, part of a fish, and then the other object. The other object was an adult sex toy that the fish had somehow swallowed after the item made its way into the Ohio River. Richard said, I have no idea how or why it ended up in the river.
Don't the dildos swim upriver when they're spawning?
Richard's wife and three-year-old daughter were there for the big reveal since his daughter likes to help with the fish.
Oh, my God.
He said, when it came out, my wife and I started laughing. My wife immediately covered my daughter's eyes and turned her away from it. He said that his daughter kept asking what was in the fish.
Mommy, you have one of those.
And it was a dildo. Oh, my God. All right, and there you go. That is all I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we've been mentioning it. We're getting excited for it. It is the return, the Preston and Steve. I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive is coming up on June 24th, and we're getting stoked for it. It's going to be in two separate locations this year. Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. We did it there last time.
Yes, we did.
And we are also going to be at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center Oaks. And we, the Preston and Steve Show, will be broadcasting live from the Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks that morning, Friday, June 24th. And at the other location, we're going to have Sarah and Brent and Jackie are going to be doing appearances.
And you and I are going to stop over there later on after the broadcast at the convention center.
Correct, absolutely. So we would like to welcome this morning a good friend. He is the Regional Chief Executive Officer of the American Red Cross. Guy Triano is here with us this morning. Hello, Guy.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again, sir. And we're excited about this year, two different locations, man. This is our first time trying something like this.
Truly excited. 17 years strong this will be.
Yeah, correct. And it's become one of our cornerstone events. And it's gotten bigger and bigger over the years. And, you know, trying new stuff is something that we like to, you know, take out for a run every now and then.
We were sort of forced to pivot, you know, over the past couple of years and try to come up with ways that made sense, that allowed, you know, people to be safe. And now we're, first off, the first time we've ever done the live broadcast of our show during the actual blood drive itself, and then two strong locations, we're very excited.
Very strong locations, and we're truly excited. And we pivoted just like the whole America did after in 2020. And you came off the largest ever drive in 2019 in the country, American Red Cross. And now, you know, this, it's looking great. The sign-ups are looking great and still have some spots. So please sign up.
And I think what's great is having that location at Live is going to satisfy maybe people a little bit deeper into Jersey or Delaware that were hesitant about making it out to Oaks, where we were. And Oaks obviously satisfies people a little further out west. We have better coverage. And this is just going to hopefully bring in more blood.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea.
Yeah, which, by the way, where are we as far as donations and the need for them right now?
Coming into the summer months, you know, the need is always constant, and we always see a dip in collections with high schools and colleges being out. So this is a perfect time, and every summer you do this, and 17,000 units of blood we've collected over the years. So
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
You know, I can meter how the demand is increasing exponentially because now, you know, I'm preparing for the blood drive, so I haven't donated. But I get the alerts from the Red Cross, and so they've been coming a lot more frequently than they usually do, which is, you know, obviously it's a sobering fact. It's that the demand does increase. But the one thing that we know is that anyone, you know, our listeners always respond. And hopefully also one thing, Preston, that's going to be good about this as well is that people who on the weekend might leave the area.
Yeah.
Like on a Saturday or whatever, you would have Friday morning to make your donation and be a part of this for the first time ever.
And the donations are, they're going a little bit later this time. So donation time's between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
That's nice.
So we get a longer run at this time, right?
Yeah, longer run, more appointment spots. You can, you know, donate in the morning, the afternoon, the evening time. So whatever works for you, we're trying to make it as accessible as possible for all the donors.
And, of course, we have some items to give to people when they come in as well. So we're excited about that. And I believe, did you bring these in or did we
they came from the back, but I love them. I love them. I love the t-shirts and all the fun giveaways.
Yeah, so Guy's here to see our reveal of one of the items that we have. It's the I Believe for President Steve tote bag.
Yeah.
That you'll get to have this year. What's that, Case?
Totes my goat.
And this is great, especially for those from New Jersey, because this can be your shopping bag now, which you can't use in New Jersey.
You can't get the bags over there.
The grocery stores and everything, so you'll get an I Believe for Presidency blood drive. And, we're working on this shirt. We haven't seen that whole thing yet, but we're excited to roll that as well.
Let me ask you this quick question here, Preston. Is this so at the bottom here, there's like a little piece of light cardboard or something.
Yes.
Does that come with every one of the bags?
That comes with every one of the bags.
Because I think that's good. It kind of keeps the integrity of the bottom of the bag.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
I know you're saying. Yeah. So, Guy, for people who are signing up and coming out, We always like to recommend to check out the requirements section to maybe save them the hassle of getting out there and not being able. What are some of the reasons why somebody might not be able to donate blood?
Yeah, they can get all the information at redcrossblood.org, but a couple of the reasons could be iron level. You know, so we encourage people to eat prior to it, hydrate. You know, this isn't you going to the doctor and donating and you need to fast. I mean, we want you to have a breakfast, have a lunch, have a dinner, you know, drink lots of fluids, all of the travel requirements, different things like that. You can find all that stuff right online. And the best thing about it is if you are signed up to donate blood, you know, download the app and do the pre-screening ahead of time. You can actually do your entire questionnaire ahead of time and save time your donation.
Which is great.
That's a great idea.
You zip right through.
So do you need to create an account or something like that on the website?
Yeah, you just download an app. Cross Blood Donor app, and all that information's there. You can track your donations. They'll ping you when you do up next for a donation, and you can get all that information right there.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're looking forward to it, man, and we're glad that we're partnering together once again. And I don't want to say this, but I think we're going to have the biggest one ever. I'm hoping so. But we do have more slots available, right?
We do. And we thank you all for the ongoing support. And we do appreciate it year after year and 17 years strong.
Yes.
Our pleasure. So go to PrestonandSteve.com. You'll see the link for it there. You can get signed up online and be a part of what I think is going to be the largest blood drive in the country.
Eric Simon did just send over the artwork for the T-shirt. If you wanted to see it how up on the monitor, you're going to see.
All right. What, right now? I think she said it in a little bit. She was just saying it's over.
Okay, so. It's over.
So. Nothing's over!
Not yet. All right, Marissa's
nothing
bringing...
Nothing is over!
Yeah. Okay, so can I reveal what this is?
Yeah.
It is. It's like a vintage Phillies logo.
Oh, nice!
And
Steve.
Awesome.
And it's got the blue and red. How would you describe that?
That's
era?
The powder 70s? Blue. It's probably 80s. I would say 80s
Early
powder 80s? Blue. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
the powder blue. And Marissa's going to post it on the website so you can take a look at it. It's pretty cool. It just says Preston Steve 93.3 WMMR. Really cool font. Really awesome throwback colors.
Yep.
Very
nostalgic.
Philly's fashion. Very nostalgic. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Guy. Great to see
you. Thank you. Thank you all.
Guy Triano, guys. Yay! From the American Red Cross. So get signed up. Be a part of this event. We want to see you there. It's a Friday, the 24th of this month. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
If you like what you hear, you can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Time for stupid Preston and Steve conversation.
Okay. Right.
If you don't mind, time for a dumb conversation.
We were talking about very smart stuff before.
Yeah, we need to
stop
that.
Entitled to really reveal our true selves.
True.
And let's get dumb.
What motivated me to bring this up was Steve, you brought in a lovely dish. I haven't had any of it yet, but Claire made a blueberry bread pudding.
Yeah.
Which sounds enticing to me.
It is.
So I'll get in there.
Why I brought it in.
She made that for your birthday.
Yesterday.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you very much.
So we will we'll dive into some of that later on. But this is a food-related conversation.
This is not the connoisseur.
No, it
is not your parents' connoisseur.
And Nick is giggling because I think he knows what it's about. So we were at Subaru doing our live broadcast a couple weeks ago, and I was online, and I was just pulling up some stuff, and I saw sometimes these headlines, like in prep services, I'm like, okay, whatever, man.
Yeah.
And it was like five of the best celebrity chef egg salad recipes. And I just turned to Nick and I go, Nick, what's your favorite celebrity egg salad recipe? And then, warranted, I just was doing it as a throwaway joking line. Nick gives me his top three favorite types of salads.
Of course he did.
And so then we started having a discussion amongst me and Casey and Nick of... Yeah. Favorite types of salads. Now, by that, not really meaning lettuce-based salads.
Anything.
We were keying off of egg salad, but we were going through things like macaroni salad, potato salad, chicken salad, tuna salad.
Mm-hmm. And macaroni, did you say?
I said macaroni.
Okay, yeah, sorry. All right.
And there's three bean salad. There's bean salad.
Okay, yeah.
There's all kinds of different salads.
I ranked my five.
All right, what were your five?
Was tossing my in there?
No. Well, you know. That's number six.
I have no interest in having my salad tossed.
No. Listen, when a guy asks for it, I'll do it.
Okay.
But
you'll do it, but you don't want it done.
I don't.
Either way.
That's what my bidet is for.
All right. Anyway, go ahead. Nick's favorite salads.
You want to 1 to 5 or 5 to 1?
5 to 1. Let's say 5. I like ending it 3. Number 1.
Yeah, all right.
With a drum roll before we get to 1.
Number 5. Yeah. And this is just my personal ranking.
Yes.
Tuna.
Okay.
Then number 4.
Wait.
I'll write this down. All right. Okay.
I'll forward it to you. I wrote it down too, Steve, so I didn't forget.
Do you have Rizzo counting them off, by the way, Casey?
Not directly.
He does,
going the other way.
He does the other way.
Yeah. Tuna?
3.
All right, number 5.
I'll tell you all my salads.
I'll toss your salad.
I'll toss your salad back there by the high in the house over there.
Yeah.
This is my ranking. Number 5, tuna. Steve, number 4, potato. Number 3, egg. Number 2, macaroni.
Wow.
Ooh,
number 1... Chicken
salad.
Okay. All right. So I admire your diversity. I say I would disagree heartily a lot of it, I believe in this list.
I think
I believe it means something to you, and I respect that.
Thank you. Because you and I we're on the same page quite a bit.
We are. However, related. I'll tell you this: I stand in direct contradiction to my wife's own salad loves. Who I've seen naked. So
so there's that.
So there's that.
Right.
I let you go first. I want to hear everyone else's before I commit to my list.
I'm actually making my list right now.
Right.
I didn't.
All right, I'm going to go. I'll tell you.
I need to come up with number 5.
I'll tell you what. Okay.
No, I was going to say I could go first because I don't like any of those because they contain mayonnaise and it.
You don't like mayonnaise?
No. To me, it disgusts me. I could tolerate...
There's mayonnaise in my shorts right now.
I could tolerate chicken salad.
You know what, though? Hang on a second. One of the best tuna salads I've ever had was not mayonnaise-based. It was oil-based.
See, that I could do.
With, like, some capers, a little lemon in there.
It's just... And listen, I used to like it, but, like, over the years, I can't stand mayo. So any of those, I pass up on
them. What about cream cheese? Can you do cream cheese?
If it's
a cream cheese salad.
I don't like cream cheese that much, but if it's light, maybe.
Cream cheese. I saved this recipe for an egg salad that calls for cream cheese.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
I hate egg salad.
Hmm. Oh, so that would be
I'm not a fan of potato salad. In the battle of always potato salad and macaroni salad side by side. Macaroni wins every time.
All right, I got my list here.
All right.
Two of them are kind of the same.
Why is there no TV coverage of this?
Well, I'll explain here. So I have number 5 is pasta salad. But number 4 is macaroni salad. And Casey's like, well, they're the same thing.
No.
Not the way I... Thank you.
No.
Yeah. Heathen.
So
pasta salad doesn't have mayo.
Yes,
I could go with pasta salad.
That's oil-based, right? Yeah. So that's usually oil or maybe some Italian dressing or something like that.
I love pasta salad.
Does macaroni salad have mayo in it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay.
And then you're thinking maybe a different version of macaroni salad. But yes, it's got mayo and sometimes a little sugar. So sometimes they make it a little bit
sweet. I've had macaroni salad.
Cheese.
I've had pasta salad with something that was very similar to like a mayonnaise-ish type of thing. But macaroni salad can operate on many different levels.
Man.
And pasta salad, excuse me.
Right, yeah. So Casey has a point, though, that pasta salad can be made with macaroni. But that's not macaroni salad.
Right. No. Yes.
Right.
Unless you're a jerk.
Now, somebody just texted something that I completely forgot about and would put on my list. So
Is it ambrosia?
It's ham salad. You guys ever had ham salad?
Is that like hoagie salad? Because I've had hoagie salad.
No, it's not quite like hoagie dip is kind of hoagie salad, I guess you could call that. But, but no, ham salad is essentially, it's ham and some relish and mayo and salt and pepper. And it's, you know, kind of blended up. And the ham is finally, like, not even minced. It's, like, even smaller than that. It's kind of blended.
I've had it with, like, cubed ham in it, Preston.
Oh, man, that, too.
Right.
That's chunky ham salad. All right, so anyway, let me finish my list.
Come on!
Get on my back. It's over.
It's over!
All right, so...
Coming back, Vietnam, people trying to tell me what their favorite salads were. I got my old list!
Remember, this is Stupid Preston and Steve chat, by the way.
Yep.
Number three, I would make tuna salad on my list. I do. It's got to be made the right way, though. That's the thing I'm really picky about it. One of my favorite tuna salads is from Panera. Number two would be chicken salad. And without question, no holds barred, my absolute favorite type of salad is potato salad.
Wow.
Potato. Wow.
Do you boil them?
I love it. I mash them. I shove them in a stew. No, but I like all different kinds of, I like the German potato salad.
Potatoes.
Yep. I like,
boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Tons of different. My mom made this really great potato salad, which we, every now and then, it's a lot of work to make it, but every now and then we'll make it. It's got bacon and egg and pickles, and bread and butter pickles. I know you hate those,
yeah,
Casey.
Not a big fan.
But yes, I think potato salad is by far my number one.
And so we're not talking about any lettuce-based salad, kale-based salad.
So I think we're staying away from that.
No, because that's standard. And there's, so in that case, I would love a Mediterranean salad. I would love
love a Greek salad.
Spinach, arugula. Also as well, Preston, but like a feta, olives.
Actually, I would go with a wedge. Yeah, I like a good wedge.
All of that in a classic like a Mediterranean stew.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, I want to hear your list.
Salad stew. Okay. I don't even know if I can put this. All right, so I love tuna salad.
Okay, is that your five or your one?
Okay, this is hard, man. I know.
It seems frivolous and stupid. You try it.
Wars have been fought over this.
You try and make your list of top
salads. The Peloponnesian War was a salad-based war.
I did the not know
the Peloponnesian War? Yeah, absolutely. Huh. I'm going to go. You twisted my melon because of the last second introduction of pasta salad.
Okay.
Yeah. Because pasta salad is so versatile. You could put tuna in a pasta salad. You could put chicken in a pasta salad.
Absolutely. But I think that it still remains at its heart, whatever you add to it, a pasta salad.
I love tuna salad prepared. I'm like you, man. It's got to be the right way. If you F it up, I'll slit your throat. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. We actually have a tuna salad brought in from the Broadway Deli on Hicksville Road in Long Island from our relatives every time they come down.
That's the best?
That's the best.
Your favorite?
That's our favorite.
Okay.
All right. And then you move on to, I would say, chicken salad's okay. In a barbecue setting where you have potato and macaroni always wins. I'm going to go with tuna and pasta salad as my favorite salads.
Okay.
I don't like potato salad. I hate egg salad. Macaroni again will be a winner. Chicken in a pinch. But I'm not as my palate is not as cultivated as yours as you guys.
I do like egg salad, but I will back you up, Steve. It can be a little scary sometimes. Yeah. It can be a little daunting. Do you like deviled eggs?
Not much.
Okay.
And then to me, it's
kind of like deviled eggs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised. Well, not surprised, but my friend Matt just texted me, why didn't we include fruit salad? And
I didn't even think of that.
I
love fruit salad.
But we're going to have to, I think, we're staying savory.
Bitch.
I know.
God damn, we
are staying savory. Okay,
because I didn't think of it until when you brought up ham salad, Preston. That made me think of shrimp because they're both pink. I was thinking shrimp salad.
No, I just want to quote the Wiggles: fruit salad, yummy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
Do any of those? Nick? Do any of them sneak into your top five? You had mentioned shrimp salad. Does that sneak into your top five at all?
I'm afraid shrimp does. I think shrimp.
Okay,
shrimp,
so you're saying tuna's out.
What does it bump from your original five, which was?
Shrimp bumps tuna.
Yeah, because tuna was his fifth. Yeah.
Are you kidding
I agree.
Me?
I like shrimp salad.
No!
It's never had be made. It. It's got, like at a good restaurant, shrimp salad can be divine.
That's right.
Not more than tuna.
That is accurate. Your opinion is right.
Yeah. So tuna, potato, egg, macaroni, and chicken. But now tuna's been removed. It's now shrimp salad, potato, egg, macaroni, and chicken.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody texts in and says,
what's happening here?
Why is no one saying cucumber salad?
Oh,
cucumber salad's really good.
Good. Because our genitals are intact.
I used to make that all the time. I forgot about that.
And that has no mayo. That's an oil thing with a little sugar in there. Make it sweet.
Mm. All right. For a summer salad, if you're going to have for a meal, a pasta salad.
Yeah.
Is the way to go.
Yeah. Is that the one that's got
massively versatile. You can have all different types of pasta. You can put chicken in it. You can put tuna in it.
Especially if it's nice and cold.
Yeah,
well, I like that.
So you keep saying barbecue in summer. Like, the thought of a mayo-based something at
sitting
a barbecue
out on a
makes
table?
Me nauseous.
Right.
Don't you, though? Isn't a macaroni and potato salad a standard at a picnic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No,
potato
you're right,
salad is like the go-to.
I will leave the macaroni salad on the table every time. Every single time.
On the poker table.
Yeah, but you when you brought in pasta salad, I'm all about pasta salad. I like those little swirly, whatever those things are called, pastas.
They look like
rotini?
Rotini, Marissa, is that what it was? Rotini, I think.
They look like springs.
I know you're talking about
her pasta. Yeah. Now, do you know why those are best for pasta salad? Those actual pasta, the shapes are specific for certain dishes, and why they're done well is because that particular shape will hold all the herbs and things that you mix in there.
It
traps
swirlies.
That stuff. It'll the swirlies capture that.
But of my top five, the funny thing here is only one of my top five do I prefer a store-bought version over a homemade version.
Okay.
And so that was my number five. And Preston, if potato is your number one, you have to try the potato salad from Sleepy Hollow Deli on Springfield Road.
As for Ichabod Crane.
It is the best potato salad out
there. Twist my arm.
I will.
Go ahead.
I will bring it in for you tomorrow.
I'm all in. I just thought of something.
What?
We've done like a chili cook-off. I'd do a potato salad judging contest any day of the week.
I won't do it like it.
I'm
unless
call
I,
in sick that day.
Unless I know it's from Sleepy Hollow, I just won't eat it.
Potato salad? Yeah. It's like that's the only potato salad you'll have?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I've never... and people are like, oh, my mom's is the best. No.
Your mom's a slut.
She's a total whore. Yes.
Filthy whore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your mom, you mean the filthy whore?
Yeah.
I don't want her salad.
But yeah, so I got potato five, pasta is four, because that actually has like cheese and like pepperonis and stuff in it, right?
And well, you can make it any. I like it with the little bits of cheese and stuff like that. It is so versatile and such a perfect summer meal.
All right. Jen has a pasta salad recipe that the entire world needs to know.
All right. All right, Jen.
The world's ears are yours.
It's not a potato salad. Hi, Casey. It's me. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Jen. We went to college together. Oh, okay. She's big breasts.
I will like that.
Hang on, Jen. Do you have big breasts? Because Casey just said you do.
Did I have big boobs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, he just wanted to point that out.
It overrided your salad that was going to redefine salads. Okay.
He said no macaroni. I don't know if Casey's gonna like it. It's gonna gross Kathy out for sure.
Oh, okay.
But there is a good potato salad. There's a good macaroni salad with just peppers and vinegar and no mayo that you would like. But this is, I get Amish macaroni salad from the Acme.
Those
I love. And then I go to the Ardmore Farmers Market and I get fresh cooked lobster meat, crab meat, and shrimp, and cut that up.
Yeah.
And I mix that together. So it's a little bit of a cheat. But
yeah, it is a cheat. So you take a store-bought pasta salad, and then you're adding seafood to it.
That's not a recipe.
Yeah.
That is a recipe.
It's
a recipe.
So it's not the best recipe in the world?
Well, it sounds very inventive. I don't like three of the four ingredients, but otherwise it sounds like a home run.
my boobs are still big.
Okay. Hey, Casey's very happy about that.
Wait, well, find out. What about this? Kathy, you might like this. With the squirrely, squiggly pasta and just three, like red pepper, yellow pepper, green pepper.
Pasta meat.
Onion, if you like it, if you don't. And then I use malt vinegar with balsamic vinegar.
Ooh.
And I mix that up. And sometimes some basil, like whatever I have in my garden. And I put that, not mayonnaise based. And it's kind of refreshing.
No oil? No oil in it, Jen?
No oil.
Okay.
No.
All right. Just vinegar.
Yeah, interesting.
Jen, do you have a kitchen or a laboratory? What's going on over there?
It's both. I like
cooking. All
right.
Well, that's very cool.
All right. Thank you, Jen.
See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Fred wants to defend a kind of potato salad you might actually like, Kathy. I'll go to Fred. Good morning, Fred.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah.
How about homemade? Have you ever had homemade German-style potato salad? It's vinegar. Absolutely no mayo.
No mayo.
You know what? Yes. Actually, I think I have had that, and I do like it.
It's got bacon bits in it.
Mm. You like bacon.
You like bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
There you go. I'm German, so my grandma used to make it.
Excellent.
Is your grandma German?
Thank you, Fred. I knew somebody who made an Italian potato salad with oil and vinegar. And a little bit of parsley in it, and that was pretty tasty.
I don't know if this is different or not, but the woman who made that potato salad that I had was Greek, so I don't know if there's a Greek potato salad or if they're sort of making it like he said, like the Germans do, but it was that vinegar-based.
I just forgot something that I really do love as well, and that salad, but quinoa salad.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
Quinoa salad, yeah. And specifically...
I'm over quinoa.
The Landing.
Yeah.
Which is Nick Elmy's, has the best quinoa salad I've ever had in my life.
So I made what I thought last year was a out-of-this-world fruit salad. There was a guy at the shore who I met who, they have these guys who drive around this truck. It's called Fresh Fruit.
Right.
And they pull up and they get out of the truck and they ring the bell. Ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding. And they stop there and go, Fred! This really long Fresh Fruit. Fresh fruit scream. Well, I got this guy, Bernie, was his name, and he brought a bunch of fresh fruit over for him. It was really, really nice. It's kind of a welcome to the neighborhood type of thing. And it was, you know, like pineapple and mango, and I had some bananas and, you know, a lot of great fruit. So anyhow.
And was it indeed fresh?
Yeah, it was perfect condition, ready to cut and go. It was all ripe and ready. So I cut it up and I threw it in and I kind of slapped together this fruit salad. So rather than just the fruit being together, I added honey to it. And most important ingredient,
mayo.
Squeeze some fresh lemon on it.
Oh, all right.
Really? Gives it even a little bit more tang.
Yeah.
And then I put in some walnuts in there, and it was the best fruit salad I've ever had. Oh. Thank you very much. Pat myself on the back. I was really happy about that.
Does that sound something like you would enjoy?
Yeah, well, when they said fruit salad, I was like, well, hello. Over here, obviously, that would be my number one.
Does fruit salad make you toot?
Would Kathy would come in with this giant bowl of fruit salad. I haven't seen it in a while. And that would be your lunch. Did Bubba add anything to that besides just fruit?
No, but you know, no.
Squeeze some lemon on it.
But you know what?
It adds such a cool little zing to it.
I'll tell you what, though. I don't know. I mean, technically, yes, I guess that is fruit salad. But what I have to say is, like, what if it sits for a little while and the juices from the different fruits mix together, I'm out. Like, it has to be fresh cut fruit.
Why are you even putting it in the same container then?
I don't know. Well, because what am I going to do? Bring different containers?
Yes, you would.
But it's fine if it's fresh. You're usually good, but if it sits for like a little while, you get that because then they all start to taste
mix together. It's like a cocktail. Like,
let me get this straight. Are we accepting fruit salads into this conversation?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Well, then I have to rethink my whole list.
I know, me too. I got to rethink the whole damn list. Our eyes are opening
disgrace.
Up. All right, hang on. Jessica, and I agree with her on this if she's talking about potato salad. Hey, Jessica, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So, Jessica, you wanted to add a secret ingredient?
Yes, pickle juice.
Pickle juice
to potato salad
and potato salad.
Yes, me too. That's a big part of what makes my mom potato salad awesome is we add that pickle juice to it. Yes.
Yes, you can't add as much mayo because it'll make it too runny, but yes. It is amazing.
Yep, I agree.
I do like.
Thank you, Jessica.
I like all riffs on potato. I do not like baked potatoes. I do not like. Potato salad. However, I like.
You like mashed potatoes?
Like red potatoes, you know.
And sweet potato fries.
Potato fries.
Roasted
potatoes.
Do you like mashed potatoes?
I do.
Okay.
I do. So my
baked potato, no. Okay.
No. So Southern style. However, I like steak fries, which are very almost.
That's probably why you don't like potatoes.
Yeah.
I don't like baked potatoes either.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I like potatoes. but just to wrap up that part of the conversation, somebody texted this in, and I was introduced to this 2 or 3 years ago, a watermelon salad with tomatoes and feta cheese. And the watermelon, is this sweetness, and then you add a little bit of saltiness of the tomato, and then cheese makes everything better. So that salad is fantastic.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
It's really good.
I'm open to trying it.
Yeah. But you're still skeptical.
I thought of another ingredient for fruit salad, too, is add a little mint, a little fresh-cut mint
in
there.
And
that kind of brings it home. A couple of people have texted in. We had a caller. They're not up there any longer. But I'm going to get your... So if you're just tuning in, it's Salad Chat on the Preston and Steve Show. Stupid conversation. Best salad ever. Does taco salad even count?
Oh, man. No, because it's taking like a salad.
That's more of like a casserole or a dip.
Oh, no, I was thinking taco salad is a salad.
I was thinking of like a taco dip.
Yeah.
Taco salad, yeah, that's lettuce. There's lettuce in there. We're staying away from the lettuce-based salad thing.
Because
we're
it's
thinking
too
more
easy.
Potato salad and pasta salad and macaroni
salad. It's too easy.
Yeah. All right, I'm just sort of thinking out loud here, but
My butt hurts.
What if... my butt feels fine.
Okay.
What if you were to make potato salad with hash browns?
Cooked hash browns?
Well,
like fried?
You cook them first so you know that they're like all cooked through and everything like that. And then you make it and then you have to put it, because you have to, when you're making potato salad, you got to cook the potatoes anyway. So,
yeah, you boil them.
You boil them, mash them, maybe you stick them in a stew press. I don't know. But like, do you wait for, when you make a potato salad, do you wait for them to cool off before you like mix it all together?
Ideally, yes, but sometimes.
So what if you'd have a big issue if they were still in a mashable condition?
Yeah. So what if you were to do that with hash browns?
You don't cook them to the extent if you can, if they get too soft, then it's going to fall apart. What's that?
What if you were to do that with hash browns instead of like potatoes?
My head hurts.
I don't like it.
Okay.
But maybe should try it.
I'm going to try it.
Talking about AI and this in one day is just...
Nick, can you look up hash brown salad?
Yeah.
And see if anything comes up?
Yeah. Because
somebody is probably...
Go to X-Hamster.
Yeah, right.
All right. Go there and then...
ever heard of jerk meat?
Pops up every time. Damn
Come
it.
Come on. All right. Hash brown salad recipe. hash brown potato salad. Yeah, Case.
All right.
So did you remember Salad Works? Do you remember the there was a
the original salad tossers.
That was their slogan.
Yep.
And we're not kidding.
Yeah.
We'd eat there a lot when we were at Y100. Yeah. They had one in the mall
because they'd toss your salad.
Yeah, absolutely, right there,
right there in the mall.
Drop trowel. Let's go.
Right there.
I'm gonna go to
Got
Rob.
A tongue like a cat.
Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
Hey, have you guys ever tried summer corn salad?
No, but go on.
I don't know. Go ahead.
So you obviously have, it's better with fresh corn, especially from the summer, Jersey corn. And you mix up with cubed mozzarella, fresh basil, lemon juice, garlic, and fresh pieces of garlic and cherry tomatoes.
Ooh.
It is a really good salad. And you serve it cold. Put it in the fridge. Make it the day before.
What do you do? Do you boil the corn ahead of time and then cut it off?
You make your corn like you're basically boiling, but it's better to cut right from the cob.
Yeah,
the cob.
Yeah. Okay. I dig it. All right, Rob. I like the sound of that.
All right.
I'm not a big corn dude on that level, but the other ingredients sounded enticing.
So this hash brown potato salad, I think I'm going to make it. the only thing I would do differently, it says poke some holes in the hash brown package. So it is saying buy prepackaged hash browns and then microwave it. I wouldn't want to microwave it. I would much rather cook them on a griddle and cook them through that way.
You don't want to get too crispy, though. That's the thing.
Well, I wouldn't mind a little crisp in my potato salad.
All right,
yeah.
All right. Hang on, John. John has an interesting potato salad story. Call with your potato salad stories. Hi, John. Good morning.
Hey, hey, Steve.
Yes.
Let me show you how it's done.
What is that from?
That's a mom teaching her daughter how to.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Here, let me show you.
Right. That's how every porn movie where it's the mother daughter. No, no, Stephanie, not like that. Like that.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, we were at a barbecue at my brother's house. My mother, who's like in her early 70s, brought over some potato salad. It was delicious. I went over to my mother's house a week later. I saw the mayo jar. Expiration date was written on the top of 2005.
So is that the secret? Is that the secret?
So and her excuse was, well, it's been kept cold.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
I don't know if I believe that.
Would have died.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Nobody got sick, so
try to keep the mayo that you're using within the decade you're living in.
All right, this sounds weird. I'm going to go to Bob. Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, Bob. You're on the air, bud.
Yeah, I just want to say something. There used to be a Cajun cook on the TV. I can't remember what channel. His name was Justin Wilson.
Yeah, that'd be hot. I guarantee he used to say that all the time.
Yeah, and he used to make a potato salad without potatoes. It was made with saltine crackers and salad dressing instead of mayo.
What?
That sounds disgusting.
That's
interesting.
Did you not
like Justin Wilson? I used to watch him all the time.
Oh, you know what that is? That's filet mignon. I made it with crackers.
Did you ever try it, Rob?
Yeah.
And was it good?
No.
Yeah, it was real good.
All right.
He says it was real good.
All right.
Nick, I don't know how the hell you do that.
Nick actually found a video of him in the recipe. I'm going to check that out, Rob. Thanks, man.
Hey, you're welcome. You guys have a good day.
You too.
Thanks. To your show. All right.
Oh, thank you, man.
I appreciate it. Actually, his name's Bob. I called him Rob. But yeah, Justin Wilson. I used to watch him.
Was this right before he was committed?
May have been.
I'm making potato out of crackers.
Nick found the video of him. He looks pretty advanced in age when he did the potato, non-potato potatoes.
I'm making chocolate milk out of corn.
All right. Well, anyhow, I would like you to further these discussions amongst your coworkers today.
Make sure that you they feel safe. Don't approach them too hard with outlandish salads right off the bat.
Right. Ease into it a little bit.
Yeah. Make them feel comfortable.
Look, we completely forgot about fruit salad. We needed your input today. Yeah. To determine the greatest salads of all time.
Given my druthers, though, I will take savory salads over sweet salads any day.
I'll take any of those. Wow. Okay. Interesting. All right. I told you it was a stupid conversation. Thank you for being a part of it. We're going to take a break. When we return, other dumb things to talk about and an announcement to make about a really cool event coming to the area that we think you are going to love. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, friend, did you receive our Camp Out for Hunger Save the Date? I mean, we made a big announcement, and then we put it right there on the website for you. Well, just in case you missed it, Preston and Steve's 25th Camp Out for Hunger is set November 7th through the 11th, 2022. And hey, it's never too early to start collecting. You can find the list of Philabundance's most requested items, plus all of the outrageous photo galleries and videos of our guests from over the years at WMMR.com/campout.
Just a real quick, I would like to thank those who joined me yesterday at the Take Steps Walk for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation at the Link. My team members, the Shark Breakers.
Yeah.
We had a nice showing, and I think we had a little over 50 people signed up on my team.
Excellent.
Not all of them made it out. The weather was bad the morning. So some people didn't make it. They made the donation, though, and that's the important part. So I appreciate that. But our team was a little bit smaller because of that. Listen, I hit on my way in. It was like I need to pull over kind of rain. And there were just...
That doesn't help a charity event.
There was puddle after puddle on the expressway. And it just, so it made it tough for people to get out. But by the time we finished the actual program part of it, you know, which is me handing out the awards and having people come up and tell their stories and everything, the weather was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
It ended up being great for the actual walk portion of it. So we didn't get to have the program outside on the field. We did it inside. But by the time we started the walk, we ended up down on the field. So everybody got to go outside, and it was cool. So it was a really
good event. Have you ever been down on the field before?
I have.
Yeah.
At the Link, I got to do it, actually.
You QB'd a game.
No. It was last year. Oh, we were shooting some video for this event, some promo video.
Yeah. Oh.
So I actually
I didn't realize that.
Ran out there and with the football and spiked it in the end zone. It was pretty cool.
Lucky. It's kind of wild to see. Now, I've been down at Citizens Bank Park and, you know, other stadiums. It's wild when you're down there to see, to get an idea of what the athletes must be looking at, even though it's not jammed with 80,000 people, but it's still amazing.
Well, when I first walked out there because of the rain, I was in the stadium in the bowl. They call that area the bowl. I was the only human being in there. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
This is pretty wild. Yeah. So I did a quick Instagram live video. I'm like, when is this ever going to happen again in my life? So I just did a quick video of me standing in the middle of the field with absolutely nothing down there. It was pretty cool.
That is amazing.
But we raised a whole bunch of money. The goal was $600,000. I won't know for another day or two what the totals were, but really great showing and a lot of fun. And the Sharp Breakers are some great people, really giving people on our team. And it was just awesome to see that. So it was a lot of fun. Oh, and also I ran into, and I don't remember her name. I apologize. Nick, maybe you do, because we did the Isolation Idol.
She texted me yesterday.
Singer contest.
Giovanna.
Giovanna. Her band, Dinah, were there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, they were fantastic.
That's awesome. She's a great voice.
She's got a great voice. There are two other girls that sing in that band that have great voices. And they were doing like three, they were all cousins, by the way, except for one of the members of the band. And this kid who was 17 years old playing guitar, a singer as well. They were doing like four-part harmony.
Wow.
And I'm like,
what's the music style?
Crazy jealous. They were doing, when I first came walking up, they were doing The Chain by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, wow.
Pulling off those vocals.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Then I come back around, they were doing Couldn't Stand the Weather from Stevie Ray Vaughan. They played You're No Good from Linda Ronstadt. So, like, really cool.
I like that.
you know, not normally hearing these songs live.
What did she sing in our Isolation Idol?
I don't remember.
But the name of the band is Dynah the Band.
Yeah.
D-Y-N-A-H. And they're on Instagram, as you would imagine. And her name is Giovanna Pisano.
Dude, they were awesome.
As you can imagine.
So I was very impressed with them. So it was cool. Nice. There was all kinds of live music and events. So it was a great one. So
and did you received your award? Did you not, for media personality or something?
I did. The honored media honored hero.
There you go.
It was a very nice thing.
It was a Bentley. Was it not?
It was a Bentley.
No way.
I haven't driven it yet. I'm excited for that.
Guys, no. This is a little too conspicuous.
It was a nice plaque, actually, is what it was.
Oh, that's nice. Cool.
And then, Casey, you had a big event over the weekend.
I did. Yeah. I had the Escape the Cape yesterday. So that was it's this triathlon that happens. You jump off of the Cape May Lewis Ferry into the bay, and that's where the triathlon starts. And it's been going on for a few years now. It sells out like every year. It's probably, and I've done a few different sprint triathlons. I don't want to I don't do Olympic or full triathlons or anything like that.
It's still amazing. But wonderful.
So three different separate events, but shorter duration.
So, like, the swim was, I think, about a third of a mile. The bike was only, like, 12 miles, and then the 5K at the end. So, I've seen the footage.
Right.
It looks amazing. It looks like so much fun. And then I'm telling you, I was with my buddy Bob, and we're walking onto the ferry, and, you know, the music is blaring, and people are cheering. I was like, because I wasn't excited about the event at all. I had had COVID a week ago, I wasn't feeling like I was ready for this event at all, but as I started walking onto the ferry, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
it was a really, really cool event. Unfortunately, obviously, there's news that gentleman perished while competing in the event yesterday.
A 70-year-old man in the swim portion of it. They took him out, and he unfortunately
it's
expired.
Sad. It does happen. Occasionally. But
the event was happening, I was completely and wholly unaware of this. I didn't know about it until about after 6 o'clock last night.
Nor would you know. You're doing. Let me ask you: Does it benefit a charity, or is it just a straight up event?
I think it's just a straight up event.
That's fine. That's actually fine. Especially if everyone's having a good time.
So here, Press, there's a picture here in the studio of me and my friend Bob, right? So Bob I grew up with. I've known him since we were probably, 10, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Bob.
Made your first potato salad with
4 years ago, Preston, Bob weighed 320 pounds.
Wow, look at him now, dude. Mm-hmm. He's looking in great shape.
So he had started running, and so he runs a lot. Like, he gets up at like 3 o'clock in the morning every morning, eats a little bit of breakfast, and goes for these, like, 10, 12-mile runs and has completely changed his life.
Around. Turnaround.
It's possible, right? It is possible. So if anybody is, sitting there just, wallowing in it, I get it. I've been there. I totally understand. There are apps out there called, like, Couch to 5K. So if you've never, ever run before in your life, and you're like, I couldn't run a mile, let alone 3 miles. There is an app called Couch to 5K that can get you off of your couch and get you doing a 5K.
Start, though, with it. You may want to start with couch to recliner.
Yeah.
Which is a little
baby steps.
A little more gradual.
Right.
I was
couch,
not.
Couch to recliner to high top to standing.
Right. Yep. Standing.
Your front porch, watching people exercise.
Yeah. Right.
You know, my brother said this too. He get a gym membership. And I believe this. Like, just go to the gym. Even if you just kind of hang out in there, go every day. Yeah. Go every day.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel like exercising, if you go to the gym every single day, maybe one day you'll pick up some weights, and maybe the next day you'll pick up a few more weights or whatever. You know what I mean? But if you just go there and make an appointment to go there, that's, one way to do it. I misrepresented myself on social media yesterday. I put up the wrong results, there's no way for me to go back and fix that. I did not perform all that well yesterday.
Yes.
In my age group, men are 46 to 49. I came in 41st place out of 46 people.
No. That means you, you trounced the guys behind you.
So
the other one said you were eighth.
The other one
out
said
of 24.
Out of 24 people. That's how I did in the triathlon I did in Wildwood last year.
Okay.
So
well, let me speak up for you here because eighth is the new 41st.
Well, I will say, listen, my run was abysmal. So out of how many people was that? 46 people. Out of 46 people, I came in 44th place in the run.
Oh, 44th.
Yeah, but in the swim, I came in 10th place. Out That's of my good. Age group, and in the bike, I came in 25th. So I just was not. I'm not a runner, and I'm telling you, the last mile was like in the sand, in like really, really, really soft sand, and my body was like, yeah, you're just gonna walk this one, buddy. You know. Right. So
well, you did it. It's a big achievement. You should be proud of yourself.
Yeah, I am. To Steve Del Monte and everybody at Delmo Sports, when you go to this thing and you look at like all the stuff going on, the logistics that it takes to put something like this on. It's, you know, there's a lot of work. And I've got the Bend to the Shore coming up in just about a month and a half. And the logistics that go into doing that.
Yeah.
It's a huge undertaking. So thank you to all of the volunteers that put that on together.
Our doctor's on the phone line.
Yay!
And he heard what you said, Casey. And I think he wants to chime in real quick.
Okay.
So from Fox 29 and Penn Medicine. Please welcome Dr. Mike Sirigliano
to our program.
Yo, Dr. Mike.
Hey, I'm not causing trouble this week. I just want to add one thing to Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And I've witnessed him morph. Yeah. I mean, I've seen this in the office naked.
Yes.
And he has...
oh, God, I'm sorry.
He has changed his whole everything. So, but look, if you're one of these people out there and you are overweight and you haven't exercised, you know, since 1983, I don't want anyone just going out for, you got to make sure that you're okay.
Right.
So you want to get a stress test and make sure that you're in good shape and that you're okay to take on vigorous exercise. And that's the take home message. I applaud.
Not to say that this is what was the cause of the gentleman who passed at this triathlon, but getting a doctor's go-ahead before you make a major change in something you're doing physically is a very wise move.
Well, right, because there are, just like you hear about these high school kids that kind of collapse at the football field in the summer, you have to make sure that you get an EKG, you get an echocardiogram, make sure that there's nothing there that's going to lead to a problem. There are conditions that you don't want to exercise like that, like hypertrophic cardiomyopathy for one. You know, you want to make sure that you don't have that. And look, you got to start moving your bones. If you do that, you're going to invest in your health 401k.
It's true. It's true. Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Thank you for the tip, Dr. Mike.
Love you.
Love you.
All right. He's definitely right. But you can get up and get moving.
Go on a walk, honestly.
Yeah.
Walk to the recliner.
I have a friend who I was telling you guys off air, exercises twice a day. And like, when she's on her second workout, I'm like, oh, hey.
Yeah. What are you doing over there?
Oh, hi. I'm going to be sitting over here if you need me.
Making
fruit salad.
Listen, regardless of how you did on it, congratulations, man. You did you finished it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who cares where you finished? That's what I said earlier. You're the only one that did a triathlon this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
I had I was training in a good direction, and so I was just disappointed. But I also didn't, you know, really train all that much, and I wasn't feeling all that hot, a week ago or whatever. But either way,
you're all good.
I'm good.
Yep. I mean, you had the vid a while ago, and you're back from that.
I did.
Yep.
I did.
All right. I think. Giovanna's on the line.
Hey!
We were just talking about her and her band, the Dyna Band. So she won our isolation medal. Hey, Giovanna, how you doing?
Hi guys, how are you?
Wonderful. It was lovely to see you and your band yesterday.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was so cool to meet you finally in person.
That's right. You never got to of the whole lockdown.
It was during lockdown. So you guys were fantastic. I was very, very impressed.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we had such an amazing time. It was such a cool event to be a part of.
Excellent. And so you were telling me that everybody in the band, you guys are all cousins?
Yeah, so it's my 3 cousins and my uncle, actually, and then one of my best friends.
Okay. Was your best friend the girl playing the guitar?
Yes, that's Catherine.
She's a badass.
I know, right?
Yeah, I've always, they, and all of them were great singers. I've always wanted to be, now I can't sing. I can kind of carry tune, but I can't, you know, do harmonies and flawless and stuff like that. I've always wanted to be in a band with like three or more great singers.
It'd be amazing.
Because it's just got some power behind it. So, do you guys need a drummer?
I think she's good.
That's a no.
Yeah,
I guess because her cousin, she would have to kick her cousin out.
I've gotten that laugh when I've asked girls out sometimes.
That's adorable.
Yeah,
you were joking, right?
You got any gigs coming up since we got you on the line?
Yeah, so our next public gig is July 3rd at the Bridgeport Rib House. So if anybody's in that area, definitely come out and check us out.
All right. Excellent. Cool. Well, nice to hear from you, Giovanna. Keep up the great work.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
No problem.
This was
we'll see
awesome.
You. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
All right. Yeah. They were really, really good. I was very impressed with them. So nice. All right. Well, listen, while we have a couple minutes before we're going to make this announcement. And I did notice a couple of things. This is kind of
it's a mini noticer.
A mini noticer.
Mini noticer. Thank you. Noticer.
Yeah. Noticer. This was sad news, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, but legendary Philadelphia car collector, Dr. Frederick Simeon, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
He passed away.
Have you ever been over to the car museum?
Yeah. I have not. I have heard about it, and that's his museum, right?
It's named after him, right?
It is. Yeah. And Nick, Morris Animal Refuge, one year had their fur ball there. I emceed the event, and man, it is amazing. Unbelievable collection of cars.
Over a period of 50 years, he accumulated one of the world's greatest collections of racing sports cars. He was a retired neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
And so that was just his hobby of sorts.
Which obviously passion. Grew, but he wanted to share. Everything is wonderfully preserved, and there's all sorts of great insight into these vehicles, and just amazing.
Yeah, he was the director of the Simeon Foundation Automotive Museum, and he had said that his collection happened largely by luck and a certain amount of passion. He was 86 years old, and I really don't know anything outside of that. But I'd always heard about how cool that is, and it goes. These cars go way, way back in time, right?
Yeah, and there's unique. I forget. There was one that blew me away, and I'm this is going to sound ridiculous, but I forgot why. I think it ran on hydrogen or something. Or
really?
Yeah, it was whatever the fuel system was. It was completely unique to this vehicle, and all sorts of different starting mechanisms and ignition stuff, and there's just countless vehicles there. It's well worth checking out if you can.
Here, real quick, I've got Nick that says the history. It says Frederick Simeon's father was a general practitioner, ran his medical practice out of a row house in Kensington. When his father died in 72, he was left with $8,000 and four cars, which were stored in a garage on Clearfield Street. He grew this collection over the next four decades, and in 2008, he donated the entire collection of cars to the museum's foundation. Which now owns the titles to the cars. From 1982 until the museum's opening in June 2008, the cars were stored in a garage near 8th and Lombard Street in Philadelphia.
How many cars are currently there, do they say?
I do not know. Nick could... It's 21 exhibits and 70 cars in the permanent collection.
So when we were there, one of the guys was telling me about how they will occasionally take them out into the lot and, turn them over and run them a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously on other cars, they have the battery system where the... They keep it plugged in. So
a trickle charger.
You have to store the cars in the right way, yeah.
I got a text from RC last night telling me about this, and that RC said that his GT was on display not that long ago, like a week or two ago.
Wait, at this museum?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is pretty cool, having not been there, I don't know what this looks like, but I like the description. The cars are arranged chronologically and in diorama vignettes.
Yes.
So they have these little
yes, they do.
For
it's
them
very
to
cool.
Be in. That's
yeah.
really
like
awesome.
For example, if one was in a particular race, behind it will be a snapshot of a large blown up picture of the race it was at.
Okay. Hang on, some calls here coming in. I'm gonna go to Glenn. Hey Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Glenn?
About 15 or so years ago, Dr. Simeon operated on my mother-in-law's brain tumor, and I have to tell you, the man was just such a gentleman, and he had a very funny sense of humor, because my wife and I caught him in the elevator and said, how did it go? And he said, it went well. Everything was great. And he said, and my wife said, well, how big was the tumor? He said, big as a watermelon. And I thought my wife was going to faint. He had a very, very, very funny sense of humor. And he was actually a very great guy. He was very nice. I couldn't say any more about him. But he is, he'll be well missed.
Glenn, were you familiar with the automobile collection?
I was, and in fact, when I saw him, I knew of that time that he was collecting cars and whatnot. And I don't think it was open back then. I can't remember, but he did tell me that he had all these cars and he was going to start showing them. And we got into a conversation. And like I said, the guy was just.
Okay.
He had the time in the world to talk to you. He was just a great man. Wow. He's going to be well missed.
Okay.
Well missed.
Thanks for the story. We appreciate it.
No problem. Right.
There's a couple of big car collectors out my way in Harleysville. There's a guy named, I'm going to forget his name, Dave. He pretty much owns all these properties in Skipack, and he's got all these garages.
Is it Dave Skipack?
It's not Dave Skipack.
They named the town after him?
Moyer.
No, it's not Moyer.
Because there's a ton of Moyers out
there's
there.
There's a lot of Moyers, and no, but it's not that. And I can't remember his name.
There is a place out in your general area, Preston, I went to, there is a tremendous amount of, there's a large couple of barns, and there are, not only are there cars, but there are agricultural vehicles,
and
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, and like from 1900 and 1888 right. or whatever.
Dave Markle.
There you go. Yeah.
And, did you go through the alphabet?
It might be. He might have a hand in that. He's. I think mainly owns Ferraris.
Did wow.
I,
right?
Did go you go through the alphabet?
I did not go through the goddamn alphabet.
I really want to try
this. I thought you were purposely ignoring him.
I can't do that live on the air. So anyway, and then there's another person who lives or just a couple miles from me. I don't know who he is, but he's got this large garage, and every now and then the front of it is open, and there's all kinds of racing cars that are in
really?
There that look like Formula One type cars. Now, they're not. I'm sure they're not Formula One, but they're older. But so, you know, people collect these things.
Would you ever, like, drive up to the house and just say, you know, ask?
I actually thought about it, but I've seen him outside, and he's probably in his 90s, by the way he looks.
Get off my lawn.
I don't want to scare him.
Send everyone them radio guys.
Hang on a second.
Scumbag.
Let me...
Is it Nick? Is
driving around all willy-nilly.
I'm going to play the rock and roll out of my car. Scumbag.
Rye bread.
Rye bread.
Let me go to Eric.
My lawn, scumbag.
Let me go to Eric. Hey, Eric, good morning.
You guys rock.
Thank you, Eric. What's up, buddy?
Hey, my father lives around the corner from those garages on Clearfield Street. My stepmother used to, like 25 years ago or so, my stepmother used to keep her Cadillac in those garages. She had a big red Cadillac Eldorado with a white top.
And Dr. Simeone's garage?
I'm pretty sure it's the same garages because my father, they would have to walk around the corner to go get the car, and my father would be like, oh, you should see this car I saw, and you should see this
okay.
must have like 10 garages there or something because he's always got these cars coming out. And, and my father is like, oh, my God, like cars are his, he'll
passion.
See something wrong down the street. He'll be like, wow, look at the lines on that, or look at that murder, this, that. Yeah. Yeah, he's that type of
Eric, what kind of car did your mother-in-law have? A stepmom, I should say?
She had a, I believe it was an 86 Cadillac. It was either like a late 70s or mid-80s Cadillac Eldorado.
Wow.
It was red and four doors. It was the older style with like the long back and the yellow and a white top.
That's a wild.
The interior may have been red too. I don't remember. But
she didn't happen to be a pimp, was she?
she actually came like right from Germany, and she like worked for like Bailey Banks and Biddle is like a house. Keeper, I guess, and like she claimed, like she actually—I don't know how true it is—but my stepmother actually claimed that when she was in England at one time, and she worked in a house where the Beatles lived.
Okay. That's conceivable.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, my stepmother wasn't really one to like exaggerate or BS, but
The Beatles, like you actually kind of knew the Beatles a little bit. Okay, maybe.
All right. All right. Thanks, Eric. Interesting story. Appreciate it, man. Let me go to, hang on a second. I have Jackie. Hi, Jackie. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up, Jackie?
So the guy you were talking about was Dave Markle.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I eventually figured it out. Yes.
He did the alphabet thing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because my other half collects cars, and it's a small group of guys.
Okay.
And Dr. Simeone. And yeah.
Okay. So he knew Dr. Simeone?
Very well. Oh. He actually, my other half, Bob, he is a surgeon too.
Oh.
But he's much younger than, he's about 20 years younger. And when he was in the lunchroom with Dr. Simeone years and years ago, and he had just bought a Ferrari, and it was $6
million. $6 million.
Yeah, wow. And Bob said to him, "That's my dream." And he said, "Good luck, because I can't imagine what it's going to be when you know, you're going to be able to do this."
Right.
And it's just, yeah.
$6 million.
$6 million, and that was back, oh my gosh, 40 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. So, and he has in his museum, he has the only one and only, and I don't, it's an Alfa Romeo, but I don't know which kind it is, but it's the only one in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so, those little jewels impressive. That they have. Yeah,
it's very the refrigerator much so. Perry Alfa Romeo.
Thank you, Jackie. He could fit in that thing.
That's what made it so unique.
Yeah. That's crazy. Wow. All right. Well, that was sad to see, and I've never been there, and I would like to check that out. It's supposed to be just fantastic.
Well, apparently,
that, been there, yeah.
Because obviously, we were there for a charity function with Morris Animal, and I think it does get used for that. They have the ability to entertain and run, you know, banquets and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, talk about a different, you know.
Oh.
It's like going to the aquarium, the New Jersey Aquarium, and it's having an cool event there, having a place, like, you know, when you have these cool things to look at outside of your event. It's
makes
really
it
awesome. So I thought I would pass that along. That's the only thing I have time to notice. I apologize. That was a super duper
itty-bitty noticer.
Teeny weeny noticer. The reason we're cutting that short is because we have an announcement to make.
Uh-huh.
And you may have heard a little teaser clip that we were playing throughout the morning. And we are officially now announcing coming live to Philadelphia. In fact, this will be Sunday, September 18th at the Met. It is the Always Sunny Podcast. Yay! At the Metropolitan. And members of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia are going to be doing their podcast live on stage in front of an audience.
That's pretty amazing.
So we can guarantee Rob and Glenn and Charlie will be there, possibly Caitlin.
Yes, it's their podcast, and every now and then they allow Caitlin to come on with them.
Right. And you never know who else might show up.
Right.
Danny's not scheduled to be there.
Correct.
But who knows what's going to happen between now and September. So this is a really cool event to see some of your favorite cast members live on stage at the Met, having a good time, just sitting around talking about the show.
This is something they're excited for, so you know they're going to bring their A game. And if you've ever heard the podcast, it's a lot of fun.
So tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster. You can click contest at WMMR.com for complete details, including Thursday's pre-sale and a chance to win for MMR VIPs.
So Marissa was going through the podcast. They're currently on season 3, episode 13, and she and Nick Murphy were kind of going over this, and they think that they could potentially be on season 4, episode 11. That is The Gang Cracks the Liberty Bell by the time they get to this particular
coincidence?
I think it's perfect. So, and I tell you what, we have a pair of tickets to give away right now. Yep, we'll take caller number 17, and we will give you tickets to go to the event. It's the Always Sunny Podcast Live, September 18th at the Met. All right, 215-263-WMMR, caller number 17, tis yours. We'll take a break and come back in a second. Bizarre File Stories on the way back.
What's new?
Glad you asked. Shine down.
You make sure I always see the daylight.
Måneskin. Fozzy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We shall do another run of the Beat File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by 80 Moyer Lumber, trusted experts since 1939. 80 Moyer Lumber is your professional source for decks, windows, doors, kitchens, millwork, and more. And you can visit them on the web at admoyer.com. So, battling rampant inflation, Zimbabweans are counting their toes as they struggle to buy food for their families. An internet rumor blazed through the country that desperate people were selling their toes for cash. The false report became so widespread that the country's Deputy Minister of Information, Kindness Paradza, visited street vendors in central Harare earlier this month to debunk it. One by one, the traders took off their shoes to show that they had all 10 of their toes.
Uh-huh.
As Zimbabwe's state media recorded the digital investigation.
Let me check your piggies.
Yeah. Paradza had declared the toes for money story a hoax, as did local and foreign fact checkers. Police later arrested a street vendor who now faces a fine of 6 months in jail.
The one thing they can't explain is the Toes for Kids campaign, Preston.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the kids, yeah, they need something to play with.
1-800-TOES-FOR-KIDS.
So he faces 6 months in jail on charge of criminal nuisance for allegedly starting this false story.
Mm.
It is starkly true, however, that Zimbabweans are finding it increasingly difficult to make ends meet since the start of Russia's war in Ukraine. Zimbabwe's inflation rate has shot up from 66% to more than 130%.
Jeez. You know, we left out a salad. Toe salad, though, is very good.
According to official statistics, the war is blamed for rising fuel and food prices. In what was described as a bizarre and brutal knife attack that left a Georgia husband and wife dead in their apartment 2 years ago, prosecutors this week revealed that the husband's body was found covered in a blanket with a Darth Vader statuette and a coffee mug perched on his back beside a lone cowboy boot.
What the hell?
Very weird detail, yeah. So the information on the killings emerged this week at the murder trial of the slain woman's son, who had been living with her and his stepfather at the time of their deaths, Anthony Douglas Schaffner. He's accused of murder in the slayings of his mother, Rebecca, and his stepfather, Kenneth. Their bodies were discovered the next day in the living room of their home. Schaffner, a former correctional officer at a state prison, had previously been implicated in a federally prosecuted methamphetamine ring involving inmates. He pleaded guilty. He served 28 months in prison. And at some point after his release, he moved in with the Griffins. But for some reason, he put a statue of Darth Vader on him after he killed him. And it's just one of these weird details that's coming out.
Is that a message to the Empire?
I don't know. Maybe. Judge Tieva Bell marched into the inmate holdover room Thursday to garner a guilty plea from a defendant being isolated to minimize contact with others. The prosecutors and court reporter joined her as part of a last-minute attempt to prevent the defendant, whose name was Jakorik Enwege, from getting too close to a judge or anyone else in the courtroom because of an earlier incident. That incident happened when Enwege had asked visiting judge Belinda Hill if she liked peanut butter. Okay. He then threw his feces at Hill in an apparent attempt to feign incompetency.
Wait, that's not peanut butter.
He said, "Do you like peanut butter?" and threw his poop at her. The fecal matter.
The old peanut butter for poop trick prank.
Poop. The fecal matter spattered the bench.
How's he keeping it on his person?
And plopped onto Hill's phone as well. She dodged the flung dung, Bella disclosed in court. And the guilty plea resulted in a 20-year prison sentence with credit for time served.
Where was this?
I think it was. It might have been in England.
Yeah. How do you get it? How are you there in the courtroom with poop ready to throw?
Yeah. The previous courtroom stunt prompted Hill to recuse herself from Imwigi's pending case, the emergency relief docket, two of which stem from his July 2018 arrest on charges of aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon and evading arrest. Do you like peanut butter?
I thought it was going to be. Come on, enough.
Yeah. Right. Let's see. All right, this is got a weird twist to it.
Okay. Well, we're weirder than the peanut butter and poop.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of murders in all this bizarre file. But the trial of a Florida woman who killed her stepfather turned husband.
Oh, dear God in heaven.
And then waited 11 hours to report his death began on Thursday. Danielle Redlick stands accused of murder in the second degree over the stabbing death of 65-year-old Michael Redlick, a former executive for the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies, by the way.
What?
The prosecution reiterated a claim long made by investigators in the case that the defendant browsed a dating website, several hours after her husband was dead. She joined a dating site, according to the attorney. She joined a dating site called MeetMindful.com. The prosecution said she put herself down in December 5th of 2018, that she was looking for a long-term relationship. This is the dating website that the defendant opens while her husband is laid out dead on the floor. It will be clear from Ms. Redlich's own statements that you hear in various recordings, her activity on the dating website, that Ms. Redlich never wanted to make this relationship work, that she was done.
First date tonight, bring a shovel.
Yeah, she didn't go through with the divorce, and she was not interested in a life with Mr. Redlich. Daniel Redlich is offering an affirmative defense in the case, admitting to the underlying fact of the slaying, but arguing that she only killed the man in self-defense. So the stabbing was the culmination of a long period of domestic abuse, the defense says. Michael Redlich had once punched his former stepdaughter in the face, the defense said, and had grown increasingly aggressive as time went on and their relationship as it deteriorated. Law enforcement doubts that the story to the defendant's alleged actions in the hours after the stabbing occurred. In addition to allegedly checking her messages on the dating app, Daniel Redlich allegedly attempted to clean up the crime scene and offered a conflicting story when she finally dialed 911. It's just what she had initially thought. She said that she thought her husband died of a heart attack. So there's that, too, which is this is just a bizarre story, man.
You know what? It always gets complicated when you date your stepchildren.
Do you know? Why does it have to be so confusing? And then one final story, and we'll end with a sweet one. Okay. Aww. A lost dog in Florida decided to cope with the situation via retail therapy. Employees at a Dollar General in Bradenton called police this week reporting that a giant dog that wouldn't leave. And police said in a viral Facebook post that includes body cam footage of the canine lumbering around the store that the 135-pound dog, whose name turned out to be Bentley, had entered the store on his own and spent a couple of hours browsing before it was closing time, and the staff didn't want to turn the gentle giant out onto the street. Fortunately, Bentley had a microchip.
Good.
The officers were able to track down his owner. The dog had apparently broken through a gate at the home where he lives before he attempted his shopping spree. But he just entered into this store and just hung out there.
Just wandered around
for a couple hours. And it was time to close. And they're like, what do we do about the dog?
135 pounds.
Yep. And they found his family, which is cool. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Sorority party.
Okay.
Let's do that. Thank you, Casey. Right. It is on Wednesday, and we're headed back to Parks Casino. And our activity this time around for the sorority party, square dancing.
We've joked about it enough. We figured, why not do it?
This is true. And we're getting towards the end of these, so I'm going to have three to give away now. We'll take our first three callers at least 21 years of age or older, and you want to join us at Parks Casino Wednesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Give us a call right now, 215-263-WMMR. We'll get you the first drink. We'll set you up with a free happy hour buffet. We'll introduce you to your new sisters.
Yes.
And we'll square dance. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but the Federation of Delaware Valley Square and Round Dancers will be calling the event. So we are looking forward to this and you being there. So give us a call now. Put you on the list. We'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know you could listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
How you doing on a Monday morning? Hopefully halfway decent. We got a cool week ahead of us. We have some fun things planned, including the sorority party. We just did some invites for that. We're getting you signed up for the, I believe, for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. And new word of the week prize, which we'll get to in just a little bit. and have your first letter to keep track of and maybe walk away with a very cool prize. In the meantime, speaking of prizes, we are going to give away for the lesson question a float experience from Halcyon Floats. I've actually been to Halcyon Floats a couple of times.
It's pretty amazing.
Really cool, yeah. So the question that we are going to go with, let me see. Okay, let's go with this. Which of my physical features does Nick really hate? 215-263-WMMR.
So rude.
Let's see if you know the answer to that. Which of my physical features does Nick really hate? And we didn't find out till this morning. 215-263-WMMR. Let's do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Rita's Water Ice. You can get to Rita's and grab a five-layer gelati. Back for a limited time only. The Rita's five-layer gelati is more ice, more custard, and more yum. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Christina Aguilera hit the stage at the L.A. Pride concert over the weekend in Los Angeles wearing a strap-on. According to Aguilera, it was the exact same strap-on she wore as a judge on The Voice.
Oh, oh my God.
And though she wasn't invited to her wedding, Britney Spears' mom, Lynn Spears, commented on an Instagram picture of the event saying Britney looked radiant. Lynn also sent along a gift basket, which included chew toys and pee pads. And finally, 52-year-old Diddy announcing he's dating 28-year-old rapper Young Miami. Diddy says he was introduced to her by her mother, Old Fort Lauderdale. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to the question. And what did we find out? What? Which of my physical features does Nick really hate? 215-263-WMMR. We'll go to Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, buddy. All right, what does Nick hate about me?
He don't like your ears.
My ears. Yeah. Hang on a second, Tom. You got yourself a float experience from Halcyon Floats. You can give Dad the ultimate gift of relaxation this Father's Day with a float from Halcyon Floats, Philadelphia's premier float center. Relax, recover, reset. HalcyonFloats.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah! Oh, and look at this. It's brought to you by Halcyon Floats.
Ah.
You can give Dad the ultimate gift of relaxation, as I just said, this Father's Day with a float from Halcyon Floats, Philadelphia's premier float center. Relax, recover, reset. HalcyonFloats.com. You spell that HalcyonFloats. So HalcyonFloats.com. An older fan of The Killers at a show in Manchester, England on Saturday got some concern and attention from singer Brandon Flowers after he was dropped by the fans while crowd surfing.
Oh, no.
Flowers halted the show to jump off the stage and check on the 67-year-old concert goer who was named Billy. And Flowers shared footage and a few pictures from the incident on social media in which Billy told Flowers, "I was enjoying myself." At the time of the incident, Brandon said to the crowd, "Who drops a guy? Who dropped him? Is he okay? His head's bleeding a bit. Let's take care of him." And after venturing into the crowd and heading to Billy's side for a brief conversation and a hug, Flowers returned to the stage where he told the crowd, "I said, Billy, what are you doing?" And you know what he said? He said, "I'm enjoying myself.
I had my head, you scumbag."
So, the Killers tour.
I want to fight you.
I thought you're having
a good time. Get away from me.
That's what he says to him when he comes over.
Get away from me. Get away from me.
Billy.
Come on, Billy. What's the problem?
I want to fight you.
I'm trying to help.
You hit your head. Count backwards.
I'll break it over your head.
Whoa.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, it's not backwards.
He's counting forward. Yeah, no. So that's clearly. Clearly, there's something wrong with him, so maybe he needs to get out and get a drink. I don't know.
You are a lush. I can tell by looking at you.
You lush crumb bum.
The Killers tour rolls into Malahide, Ireland, where they play shows tomorrow and Wednesday.
Take you down the alley there. I'm going to put some saran wrap over your face.
I will go back to that wall with the three of you.
Give you a hot call.
Wow.
Ringo Starr's announced that two members of his all-star band, Edgar Winter and Steve Lukather.
1, 2, 3.
Just two, not just three.
One, two.
Yeah.
Where's Billy?
Steve Lukather. So both Edgar Winter and Steve Lukather have tested positive for COVID.
They're supposed to be in Philly this
week.
Yeah,
they're not going to.
No kidding.
Yeah, the band has postponed the last 12 gigs of their summer tour.
Oh, man, I was going to go.
I know.
It's a good lineup.
Great show. It is so much fun. I'm sorry to hear that, Nick. According to the announcement, the band was halfway through the 22-show run when Ringo let audiences know on the 7th. During the second of three sold-out shows at New York's Beacon Theater that Edgar Winter had COVID. But the All-Stars would play on, however, Steve Lukather, and he's like a really important part of the band, Nick. Like, he's a driving force on guitar.
Steve Lukather's one of the great guitars, one of the great studio musicians of all time.
Yep, so he would be integral. They're not going to be able to pull it off without him. So they said, however, with Lukather testing positive for COVID, it forces the group to reschedule the remaining 12 shows.
But you don't have the courage.
And
wow.
adding them to their September tour. And rescheduled dates are still forthcoming. Yeah, they're playing the 19th at the Met, so they'll reschedule it.
All right, so they're in Atlantic City on September 24th. Maybe they'll come back to Philly around
that time. You aren't even my favorite Beatle.
Yeah.
Less than a man.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
Come on, Frank. Guys in the Beatles, for crying out loud.
All right, speaking of the Beatles, another story from the Beatles, and then we'll wrap music news.
Call out a drum solo.
John Lennon's former girlfriend, May Pang, is receiving raves for her new documentary, The Lost Weekend, a love story, which premiered on the 10th in New York at Tribeca Film Festival. The film, which is peppered with Pang's legendary photos of John Lennon during their affairs between 1973 and 75.
So a lot of Pang peppering?
So a lot of Pang pepperings. Spotlights the pair's relationship during Lennon and Yoko Ono's 16-month separation. Among those appearing in the doc are photographer Bob Gruen, Apple Records manager Tony King, and solo Beatles drummer of choice Jim Keltner.
Frank Rizzo.
Get away from me.
Along with Julian Lennon. So May Pang spoke to New York Post about she and Lennon leaving New York in the fall of 1973. As a couple recalling, we went to L.A. together, to start something superficially, and then I fell in love with him. Yoko kept calling, though she said in 74 she wanted a divorce. It was her third marriage, and he had said, I'll be a free man in 6 months. Pang went on to shed light on the differences between her and Lennon's relationship as opposed to his and Yoko's. She said, Yoko, chain smoker, 7.5 years older than he, understood his needs, but he and I, together 18 months, our life was different. All musicians, George Harrison said, I'm glad she's with you. Keith Richards said, this is like the John I used to see.
You don't taste like cigarettes.
She said, I made him accessible to friends. We'd go swimming, do Disneyland, take walks together without his entourage.
Though the word has always been, and they both confirmed it, right, that she was one of the sort of orchestrators of this. Yoko.
Yeah, she kind of gave a little bit of a blessing from what I understand.
To sort of keep control on it, right?
But she said, she went on to say, last I saw John was 1978.
I want to go to Knott's Berry Farm.
She said
he can pan for gold there.
She said he had a will done in 79 and was gone in 1980. She said, I can't forget, but you have to let it go. And you can only try to live in the moment. I've attempted to reach out to Yoko, but it didn't work, she said. I'm interested in seeing this. I'm curious about that period of John's life.
If he became sort of happy, thrilled with life.
Yeah. She didn't taste like cigarettes.
I'm going to be a contestant on The Price is Right.
Oh, my God.
$245. How much for the Mana Radar Range?
Contestants row. John Lennon, right down there.
John Lennon!
Come on down, right?
The Hungry Man Dinner.
Wait a minute. He's picking
$3.20.
The actual retail price is $3.28. That's close enough, John.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Man, I would pay good money to see John Lennon on The Price is Right.
Yes. Only if, Paul was on there as well.
Yeah,
on
contestants' row. They could all four be up at the same time.
All four of them. Oh, my God. That's a movie yet to be made.
Oh, my God.
A Zenith color television on a Ski-Doo.
Paul would be the guy that would win, right?
Yeah. He'd win both showcases at the end, man. He'd be within $100.
A Cuisinart in the hot tub.
I like the Ski-Doo. Oh, God. All right, and then I think we have a piece of audio. The Rolling Stones played a show, and they dusted off, speaking of the Beatles, an old one that the Beatles actually wrote and gave to the Rolling Stones.
That's what I thought. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Because that was, I always understood this song, which we're going to play the clip of, was sort of like the Beatles said, hey, would you like this?
Yeah.
And then it came back to them.
And I remember an interview from Mick Jagger saying he sat there and he watched John and Paul just construct this song out of nothing.
Yeah.
And then said, here, you guys can have it. And he was like, that's how you write a song.
And a lot of people don't realize they had that relationship.
They did.
They were friends.
They were close.
Yeah.
And they and it was like the Stones' second release. It ended up being one of their first hits. And then the Beatles kind of let them have it, and then they did their version of it later on. It's I Want to Be Your Man. It's a great song. And Ringo actually sang it. Here's a clip of them playing it live recently, and they haven't played this since...
I think
they brought it up in like the 1970s or 80s or a few. They would play it in their list, and they haven't played it since
then. Liverpool when they did this.
Yeah. So here we go. Yeah, so they had said something like, here's some is from some local songwriters, and they played it. Still says, baby. Want to be your lover, baby.
I think as I recall the story, the Beatles heard that more in the Stones kind of voice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's cool, though. All right, Nets music news. We're going to take a break. We'll get ready to wrap it up. Later today, Word of the Week prize. Brent Porsche in for Pierre today. So we will get that from him when we get back. Make sure you stay with us.
Get what you want when you want it. MMR on demand. Preston and Steve's Daily Rush, Sarah's Rock Breakdown, MMR podcasts, the latest videos and interviews with your fave artists, and lots more. Click the on demand tab at WMMR.com. Get what you want when you want it. MMR on demand. Preston and Steve's Daily Rush, Sarah's Rock Breakdown, MMR podcasts, the latest videos and interviews with your fave artists, and lots more. Click the on-demand tab at WMMR.com.
Smashing Pumpkins bringing us up to the end of our program at 10:42, the Preston and Steve Show on this Monday morning. Enjoyable time today. I mean, how often do you get to have a competitive salad chat? I mean, honestly. And that's what we did today.
Did we resolve anything? I don't know, but we...
Just that salad's great.
Yeah.
That non-lettuce salads are pretty awesome, depending on what you like. You know, you can put them in whatever order you want them to go into. But I do want to thank Mr. Guy Triano for being on the program this morning. He is the executive, or the regional chief executive officer for the American Red Cross. And just bring this up to speed on... the event is on the 24th, and the fact that we revealed the new President Steve tote bag, I Bleed for President Steve tote bag, and a T-shirt. We'll get to that down the road. It's a really cool design that's kind of throwback Phillies inspired. And Guy said definitely need, the need is there.
Yeah, as you would well imagine. That's why we're going big this year, right? I mean, live broadcast.
Two locations will be at the Expo Center at Oaks. And then at Live Casino, and the gentleman standing to my left is going to be there, Brent Porsche.
Hey!
morning, gang. Yeah, looking forward to that. That was fun last year when we did it as well down there live. Yeah.
So we're going to, Steve and I will swing by after our broadcast, and I'm not sure what time you're planning on being there. It's not till the 24th, so.
Yeah.
But at some point, you and Sarah and Jackie are all going
to I'm rolling right after my overnight shift. I'll be there like 7 to 8 or something like that that morning to kind of kick it off down there and pass the baton to Sarah and Jackie from there.
It's on later, too. Like, it usually when we used to do it on, had been doing it on a Saturday, it had to wrap up at least, you know, by around 4 was the deal. They're going later till 7.
Till 7 p.m. Yeah, so it's going to be convenient for a lot of people. By the way, real quick, I also want to reiterate an announcement we made, which is MMR is excited to present the Always Sunny podcast live is going to be Sunday, September 18th at the Met. And the cast members will be here. So you've got Rob and Charlie and Glenn and probably Caitlin doing this podcast live. So they're going to be talking about episodes, and I'm sure they'll probably chat with the audience at some point.
And I got to believe there's going to be some sort of multimedia component to that
as well. Yep. So tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster, and we are going to be giving away tickets this week. And you can go to WMMR.com for complete details, including Thursday's pre-sale and another chance to win MMR VIP tickets. So that is on the horizon. Brent is going to give us a letter, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter S, as in Sleepy Hollow potato salad.
Oh, there
my
you go.
My jam. I love it. Hell yes. As I heard Casey mention, I'm like, yes, that all is right. The bomb.
Sleepy Hollow. I've got to try some of this. All right, so S, and we have dinner for 10 at Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse to celebrate the graduate in your life with 15 different cuts of meat and fish served right at your table and a gourmet salad bar. It is the perfect place for your graduation celebration and private rooms available for parties of 16 or more. And info and reservations available at Nebraza.com. I'm sure you got some good stuff planned for today.
I do, man. I'm looking forward to it. So workforce blocks today. We're doing the Foo Fighters, also Tool, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. Today's cool. The 39th anniversary of the release of Texas Flood.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be cool. So we're going to be doing that up. And I'm in for Pierre just today. He's in the rest of this week. But today and all this week, your chance at tickets to see the stadium tour, which is next weekend down at Pierre's Good Citizens Bank Park with Motley Crue and Def Leppard and Joan Jett and Poison, which should be cool. Of course, we got the coffee break coming up here in just a few minutes.
All right. Hang on, gangs. Coming up, I want to thank our sponsors. Preston Steve Show brought to you today by Acme Markets, Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, and also Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow on the program, it's Tuesday, so Tat Tuesday, we'll be giving that away. And speaking of It's Always Sunny, Glenn Howerton will be on the show tomorrow, I'm sure, to talk about that and other things, meaning the podcast. So that's it. We are done. So rage on. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye. Smashing Pumpkins, bringing us up to the end of our program at 10:42. The Preston and Steve Show on this Monday morning. Enjoyable time today. I mean, how often do you get to have a competitive salad chat? I mean, honestly. And that's what we did today.
Did we resolve anything? I don't know, but we...
Just that salad's great.
Yeah.
That non-lettuce salads are pretty awesome. Depending on what you like, you know, you can put them in whatever order you want them to go into. But I do want to thank Mr. Guy Triano for being on the program this morning. He is the executive or the regional chief executive officer for the American Red Cross. And just bring this up to speed on the event. It's on the 24th. And the fact that we revealed the new Preston and Steve tote bag. I bleed for Preston and Steve tote bag. And a T-shirt, we'll get to that down the road. It's a really cool design that's kind of throwback Phillies inspired. And Guy said definitely need, the need is there.
Yeah, as you would well imagine. And that's why we're going big this year, right? I mean, live broadcast.
Two locations will be at the Expo Center at Oaks. And then at Live Casino. And the gentleman standing to my left is going to be there, Brent Porch.
Hey! Good morning, gang. Yeah, looking forward to that. That was fun last year when we did it as well down there live. Yeah.
So we're going to, Steve and I will swing by after our broadcast, and I'm not sure what time you're planning on being there. It's not till the 24th, so.
Yeah.
But at some point, you and Sarah and Jackie are all going
to be there. I'm rolling right after my overnight shift. I'll be there like 7 to 8 or something like that morning to kind of kick it off down there and pass the baton to Sarah and Jackie from there.
It's on later, too. Like, it usually when we used to do it on, had been doing it on a Saturday, it had to wrap up at least, you know, by around 4 was the deal. They're going later till 7.
Till 7 p.m. Yeah, so it's going to be convenient for a lot of people. By the way, real quick, I also want to reiterate an announcement we made, which is MMR is excited to present the Always Sunny podcast live is going to be Sunday, September 18th at the Met. and the cast members will be here. So you've got Rob and Charlie and Glenn and probably Caitlin doing this podcast live. So they're going to be talking about episodes, and I'm sure they'll probably chat with the audience at some point.
And I got to believe there's going to be some sort of multimedia component to that
as
well.
Yep. So tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster, and we are going to be giving away tickets this week. And you can go to WMMR.com for complete details, including Thursday's pre-sale and another chance to win MMR VIP tickets. So that is on the horizon. Brent is going to give us a letter, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter S, as in Sleepy Hollow Potato Salad.
Oh, there
my
you go.
My jam. I love it. Oh,
hell yeah. As soon as I heard Casey mention, I'm like, yes, that all is right. The bomb.
Sleepy Hollow. I've got to try some of this. All right, so S, and we have dinner for 10 at Nebraska Brazilian Steakhouse to celebrate the graduate in your life with 15 different cuts of meat and fish served right at your table and a gourmet salad bar. It is the perfect place for your graduation celebration and private rooms available for parties of 16 or more. And info and reservations available at Nebraska.com. I'm sure you got some good stuff planned for today.
I do, man. I'm looking forward to it. So Workforce Blocks today, we're doing the Foo Fighters, also Tool, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. Today's cool. The 39th anniversary of the release of Texas Flood.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be cool. So we're going to be doing that up. And I'm in for Pierre just today. He's in the rest of this week. But today and all this week, your chance at tickets to see the stadium tour, which is next weekend down at Pierre's Good Citizens Bank Park with Motley Crue and Def Leppard and Joan Jett and Poison, which should be cool. Of course, we got the coffee break coming up here in just a few minutes.
All right. Hang on, gangs. Coming up, I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme Markets, Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, and also Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow on the program, it's Tuesday, so Tat Tuesday, we'll be giving that away. And speaking of It's Always Sunny, Glenn Howerton will be on the show tomorrow, I'm sure, to talk about that and other things, meaning the podcast. So that's it. We are done. So rage on. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.